Department officials present here. I'm not sure who is supposed to lead the department. We also are supposed to have the water board. We don't know where they are. I just see the CE of Amatola Water. We have a meeting that is expected to start at 9:30. We had to wait for us before. We did get an apology for Mr. Basson, who was coming a bit late. And now time is 9:39. I tell you that we shall have to ask, resume or start our meeting. Those that shall join us shall join us later. We certainly do have an apology from the acting GG and also an apology from the deputy minister and also from the minister who is attending the cabinet. I see Marcellus is coming through. They are also late, like Amatola. Mr. Mbuni is also having an engagement in another committee in Parliament. He did indicate that. If he finishes early, he will join us. We did not receive any other apology. Am I right, Matthew? Okay. We had requested, we had written officially to the minister, to the executive authority for the department, requesting that we process the annual reports of the water board. Unlike your water research commission, unlike your TCTA, your water board's term of financial year end is end of June, similarly with the municipality. Hence, we are only able to get the annual reports either after or before, whichever way you look at it. But these are annual reports that come almost the same time with the municipalities. They table their annual reports in Parliament in December, and those get to be referred to by the Speaker of Parliament to the respective committees. Hence, only now that we are able to get the water board coming before Parliament. These are entities that belong to the Department of Water and Sanitation. These are entities that are in Section 3B of your bodies, public bodies, that under PMFA, that do not receive any appropriation from the department or from government, self-sustaining public entities. That's what they are. They have been requested as well to alongside the annual report to talk or to add two extra items as they report. One that talks to the petitioned areas in the respective jurisdiction where they operate in. And secondly, they've also been expected to appraise Parliament on the tariff structuring in their respective, again, jurisdiction. Welcome those that have just joined us. Our meeting starts at 9:30, sorry. Almost at 3:30. Okay, without waste of time, having had apologies both from the Minister and the Deputy Minister and also the Acting DG, we have the acting DG. We shall have to take us through. Madam.
Thank you, Chair, honorable members. Thank you also for coming here to listen to us. We are at that time of performance and monitoring evaluation, and these are your water boards. Today we are having Amasela and Makhali water boards for your scrutiny. I will not speak on their behalf because, gone are those times where we used to shame them in their absence. So, Chair, through you, they are here. You can start with Amasela, and they will take us through. And if there are any other issues, I'll have the team that will also assist in identifying some of the matters. They are also accompanied by the guests from Eastern Cape, and I'm hopeful that they'll be here to also get the advice from your side and guidance as they present their annual report. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, without waste of time, Amasola, the Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members and colleagues, good morning. We will cover the annual report presentation as Amasela Water, and then we will request the regional office of the department to assist us with dealing with the two petitions from the Eastern Cape and also the two affected municipalities. From our side, as Amasela Water, we, as part of the introduction, we've got the board, and as the board, we've got four committees of the board that take oversight on behalf of the board, and those committees are Audit and Risk Committee, Finance Committee, Solid and Business Development Committee, as well as Human Resources Committee. And from our side, the state of governance at Amasela Water is quite sound in the sense that we have received unqualified audits for 6 consecutive years, and the board is through its the management is working very hard to ensure that there is stability in the organization. We are proactively engaging with our stakeholders to ensure that there is a good working relationship with the stakeholders internally and externally, and there is a growing confidence in the Eastern Cape on the Amasela Water as an institution, and that is displayed by the fact that the provincial government and various government departments within the Eastern Cape are using Amasela Water as an implementing entity to assist with water and sanitation related projects. The CEO will deal with those in detail in her presentation. We have developed a turnaround plan since we have gone through some turbulence as an organization, and as part of that turnaround plan was to stabilize the leadership of Amasela Water. And through that process, we have appointed an executive, a chief executive officer, Mrs. Dumani was sitting next to me, who was going to lead the presentation on the actual performance. And we are busy with change management to ensure that we are improving performance overall in the entity. And in terms of that turnaround plan, we have also started implementing a number of infrastructure projects within Amatola Water. We have we are at advanced stages of developing an infrastructure master plan. And also we have appointed four professional registered engineers to ensure that we have a competent team in place. We've got a financial recovery plan that we're working on in order to improve our financial performance. We have strengthened our procurement, our supply management offers to ensure that we're able to deal with the issues of, or to ensure that we comply with the procurement policies in procuring services. I will hand over to the CEO to take us through the performance in respect of the annual report.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, Honourable Chairperson, and Honourable Members. Good morning. My presentation will start with the area of supply. Where are we operating as the agency? Mainly, we are providing water supply, our primary business at Amatola District Municipality. And within Amatola, we have the metro.
Sorry. Is this noise not?
I think use this mic.
Here it is. No, I don't speak
not.
The mic. The noise that comes from either it's an headphone
or yeah. All right. As I was saying, our area of water supply, that is primary business, is at Amatola District Municipality mainly. And within Amatola District Municipality, we have a metro, which is the Buffalo City, and over and above that, we are providing water supply at Midland, the local municipality. We are also involved in a number of activities in the secondary business, mainly the implementation of the regional bulk infrastructure grants, and I'll talk into detail in terms of which clients are we servicing. But also we are providing water supply and waste treatment works within the National Department of Public Works as well as the Department of Education in the Eastern Cape. Now coming to specific projects, you will be aware that there is the KSD Presidential Intervention Program, which started in 2012. We are the implementing agent for OR Tambo District Municipality. And mainly we are implementing the ARBIC program. We also assisting King Sabata Dalindyebo with the Mthatha pipe replacement, where we are looking at leaks and replacing old and dilapidated infrastructure. We are also implementing the Noitgedag scheme, which is a ministerial directive, which is servicing mainly the metropolitan municipality of Nelson Mandela. We also have a relationship with the department in terms of operations and maintenance of the 21 dams within the Eastern Cape. As I indicated, we are providing operations and maintenance for both water supply and sanitation for the National Department of Public Works and the Eastern Cape Department of Education, respectively. Now, how have we performed as an institution in the last financial year? I will talk specifically on non-financial performance indicators. You will see that in terms of the revenue generation, there has been a decline of about 20 million from the last financial year. We generated revenue of 385 million. Mainly the problem there was the poor performance of the institution. We were not spending on projects and thus denying us a significant portion of the implementation agency fees. But also we have lost a number of key clients that we are trying to revive, and of significant importance is the National Department of Public Works. Now, if you look at the cash that has been paid to suppliers vis-à-vis goods and services, in 2017, we spent 37% on suppliers and 63% on cost of employees. The reason being that we failed to spend at the required level, hence there is this huge distribution. But in 2018 there has been an improvement, the cost of employees dropped from 63 to 43%, and what we paid to suppliers is 58%. Now, if you look at the capital infrastructure investment, the institution has been seriously challenged due to the competences which were non-existent, and particularly on project management. We have not spent money, particularly on pump upgrades. If you do a comparative analysis of 2017 to 2018, we spent 144 million in the prior year, and in 2018 we spent only 29 million. Now, also, if you look at pump efficiency, there's a major regression. If you don't maintain your plants, obviously you are going to spend more on electricity, so there has been a regression in that regard. Regarding human capital, there's a regression as well. From the last financial year, we created 832 jobs, but in 2018 we created 638. Obviously, there's a correlation. If you don't spend on your infrastructure, you're not going to create the number of jobs that are required. When it comes to safety issues, we are regressed. I'm sure all of us who are aware of the Mthatha deaths that Amatola had in the last financial year, so that's why there's a regression on our disability incident frequency rate. Raw water extraction from source, there's a decline as well, from 38 kiloliters in the prior year to 35. That is as a result of inefficiencies and the fact that we're not maintaining our plants. But most important as well is the restrictions that we effected on Amatola District Municipality due to non-payment of the debt. On intellectual capital, there's an improvement. Mainly we have invested on our ICT, particularly on the ICT governance framework. On BEE spend, in the last financial year, it was 105%. There's a regression, obviously, is linked again to our ability to spend on infrastructure. On staff members who are union members, in 2017 we had 296, in 2018 they dropped to 274. Mainly there's an emerging second union, so that is the result of the decline. On employment equity, I must say we're not doing very well as an institution, as you can see that the target for women at specific levels is 47.8%. Last year we only achieved 30%, but I must say in this current financial year there is a major improvement. We appointed 3 females in senior management positions, including myself. Now, if we look at the overall performance from a shareholder perspective, you will see that there's a decline. In the last financial year, we only achieved 63% of our targets, that is 2016 and 17. In 2017-18, we regressed by 5% to 58%, and mainly is the financial perspective of the organization. Is the impairment of the debt of 105 million due to Amatola District Municipality, who has not been paying the institution, in fact, from 2015-16 and 16-17, and last year we had to impair that debt, which grossly affected our performance as an institution. But also because they are even inconsistent in terms of service in the current debt, we had to effect restrictions. And if you effect restrictions, you are providing less supply, and that has a direct impact on your revenue. On the organizational efficiency and effectiveness, in 2016-17, we achieved 75%. We have improved to 100%. In 2017 and 18, and mainly it's because of our efficiencies. We're trying to mitigate water losses as much as we can. The target was 14.2, but we only lost 11, but even that 11 is not okay. Financial perspective, I think I've already spoken about this one. If you see what has really pulled the institution down is the financial perspective. In the last year before, 2017 and 18, we only achieved 56%, which was not good. But during 2017 and 18, because of the debt impairment, we regressed further. We only achieved 37%, and that has an overall effect on the entire institution. On organizational capacity, in 2016 and 17, we had 100%. We regressed in 2017 and 18, and mainly the reality is that the institution has been unstable. There have been a number of corrupt activities. We have dismissed a number of people. There have been voluntary resignations, and that affected our scorecard. We dropped from 100% to 67%. But also, we had to put a hold on the appointment of permanent position, which is a KPI, because of the financial situation of the institution, but subsequently that has since improved. And then on customer and stakeholder interaction, the performance remained at the same level at 75%. And I can safely say in this year, I'm sure we'll achieve something which is closer to 100%. There is growing confidence in the institution. The cabinet has made specific resolutions that we should implement and intervene on municipalities where there's a crisis. And for us, that's a sign of stakeholder engagement, of stakeholder confidence, which is as a result of regular interaction with stakeholders. Now, on general performance, this specific KPA looks at board attendance. We must say that we had a challenge with the ex-deputy chairperson. He was not attending meetings, and ultimately he had to resign. But I can safely say that, in specific on that KPI, we have moved from 60 to 81% currently. The target is 8, so we're 80, so we're overachieved. I will then request the CFO to talk about the financial performance.
Good morning, Chair, good morning, members and colleagues. Chair, we'll start on the light that talks on financial performance. Mainly this light compare our movements from the 2017 financial year to the 2018 financial year. Starting with the statement of comprehensive income, our revenue dropped from 405 million in the 2017 financial year to 324 million in the current financial year. The reduction is mainly due to our failure to spend on the secondary business revenue share, linked to projects that tend to be discontinued as part of our secondary business. On operating admin expenses, there is a slight increase from 127 million to 229 million. Included in that component is the component that talks on debt impairment of 120 million, that is in lieu of non-payment by the customer, especially the commercial municipality and other customers that we are servicing. This ultimately resulted in us achieving a net loss of 105 million. Now that 105 million is mainly as a result of us having to bring a provision for impairment on non-paid customers of 120 million. We discount that back to the accumulated loss, we would have achieved a profit position. A statement of financial position. Our total assets has increased from 923 million in the 2017 financial year to 1.1 billion in the current financial year. One of the major reasons for this increase is our cash and cash equivalents at year end. They have increased from 106 million to 376 million. And also our Also, our debt has reduced from 256 million to 197 million. One of the major reasons for the reduction is because we had to bring in the provision for impairment as already alluded in the previous slide. On liabilities, there's been a slight increase on deferred income liability. The increase is a result of funds that we received on behalf of implementing agency status for us to implement a project in the current financial year mainly. We also note that on current liabilities, there has been a slight increase on trade and other papers, which is our creditors or the customers that we owe. The movement there is as a result of our failure to effect payments in lieu of water that we purchased from the Department of Water and Sanitation. But we've got processes in place to enter into a payment plan with them so that those payments are effected. On the cash flow situation, there's been an increase in cash received from customers from 329 million to 447 million. And also our payments have significantly reduced due to the stringent financial measures that we're trying to implement so that we curtail the expenditure that is on nice to have, and rather spend on what we require to spend in terms of legislation. This resulted in us having an increase in cash and cash equivalents at year end, an increase from 180 million to 376 million at year end. included in the 376 million is funds that we have received in lieu of the project implementation status from our customers that were currently implementing those projects in the current financial year, which is the 18-19 financial year. The next slide talks on an analysis now of a comparison of compensation to employees and also goods and services. You will notice that if you talk on compensation to employees, there has been a slight decrease from 173 million to 167 million in the current financial year. One of the major reasons for this is positions that you see alluded to that have not been filled, and also the resignation some staff members have to take during the year under review. The other component talks on goods and services. There is a jump from 103 million to 231 million on payments for goods and services. Now, included in that 231 million in the 2017-18 financial year is the 120 million provision that we have to bring in lieu of the payment of debtors. If you discount that from the 231 million, we will get to about 109 or 105 million, which is a slight increase in terms of payment in goods and services of less than 10 million. The next slide talks on the cost composition now of our entire expenditure component. The movement here in terms of labor costs, there has been a reduction in labor costs from a 42% labor cost to total expenditure to a 33% in the current financial year. Also, one major one that we've seen major movements is the general expenses component. General expenses increased from a 15% to a 32% in the current financial year. One major reason there is that included in general expenses is the provision for debt impairment in lieu of the non-paying customer, which major the amortization expense. The rest of the other components, there's not been any significant increases of now. This slide talks on key financial ratios. You will also note that all these key financial ratios seem to have significantly declined. One of the major reasons for the decline is the inability to collect revenue. And it affects almost all the ratios. And it talks to what we see indicated earlier on, that our finance perspective, there's been a decline in how we perform, because all our ratios that we comply with are affected by the impairment of the debtors. I've not talked to them individually, but I will highlight one or two of them. You will see that the current ratio has declined from a 1.36 to a 1.03 in the current financial year. Trade and other debtors days has slightly improved from the 88-day period to a 73.9-day period. Return on assets has declined drastically because the project that we had to implement in order to capitalize those assets were lagging behind in terms of implementation, and it's a project that we are currently implementing in the current financial year. The last portion of the slide talks on productivity, number of employees, both contract employees and also general staff members. There's been a slight improvement in the number of employees that had employed as an institution from 45 to 432 in the current financial year. The next slide talks on the outcomes of expenditure. We are comparing now what the said cost versus actual cost. The first component of the presentation talks on the actual figures, and the other component to the far right talks on the percentage variances from a budget to an actual perspective. On primary business, there's been a slight reduction in terms of budget. We budgeted 279 million to spend, but we actually spent 251 million on primary business. Secondary business, there seems to be an over-expenditure of significant amount of about 2% from a 64.7 million to a 66.1 million. Support services reflects a jump of almost 85% because it's true that in the Singapore support services is the 120 million provision that we had to bring in lieu of the provision for implement of the house in the current financial year. The next slide talks on expenditure trends by program. We've got three major programs in our budget. We've got primary business, secondary business, and support services. As you would notice that the primary business takes a significant component of our expenditure. It takes 48% and secondary business takes 13% and support services takes 39%. Now, why support services take 39% is simply because that included in that 39% on support services is the 120 million provision that we've brought in as part of the expense of the cost as a year-end. The next slide talks on expenditure trends, the program from the 2014 financial year to the 2018 financial year. You would notice that on this slide, the employee costs have increased by 1.7%, admin costs have also dropped, and gross margin has dropped by 23.5%. In the current financial year. The volatility of the net margin is largely attributed to the annual provision of the debtors impairment. Next slide talks on commitment analysis. Capital commitments that are conducted for and also capital commitments that are authorized but not conducted. A simple explanation on this one is what we have issued in terms of quarters and also the commitments that we have as a year end in terms of contracts that we've already awarded to. In the 2017 financial year, in terms of capital commitments, we had 150.4 million. In the 2018 financial year, we had 97.4 million. These commitments are mainly funded from grant funding in lieu of implementing agency tasks, and there's an insignificant amount that you are financing internally in terms of these commitments. The next slide talks on irregular expenditure that we've intended as Amatola Water. The movement is from the 2017 financial year to the 2018 financial year. Would notice, chair members, that in the 2017 financial year, we had total irregular expenditure of 114 million, and that has since increased to 132.7 million, which results in an increase of about 18 million. One of the major reasons for the irregular expenditure was mainly failure to follow proper supply chain management processes as required by the supply chain management regulations. There are investigations that are ongoing relating to those that were involved in incurring the irregular expenditure that has been identified. The federal regulations provide guidelines on how we deal with this, and committees and board committees are dealing with it, and a report is awaited in relation to what needs to be done to those that were.
Maybe just one quick one. But whilst you are on the irregular expenditure, you've just explained as to what happened. It becomes important so that we don't come back to this issue back again.
Thank you very much.
The main concern that we normally take as members of parliament, obviously at the end we become quite interested in knowing as to what then happened to the culprit, if you like. You've just mentioned that there are investigations that are taking place. Of importance to us gets to be an issue that talks to this person who commits such a crime. What goes through that process? Is it something that you get to know after the fact, or is it something that is consciously done here we are now going to break the law. We are going through this process. We know the repercussions are going to be. But this is something that must be done. I really get to wonder as to what really goes through that process, that very act of having to say we are now breaking the rule. At what point do we also get to do that within the system so that we don't come back to this point again?
Thank you very much, sir. We do have the detail of each of the transactions that accumulated to the prior year. Let me say 2017, because we're talking about a significant portion which was incurred during the 2016-17 financial year. Mainly, it's gross disregard and non-compliance with procurement procedures. Second aspect is variation orders after variation orders which do not follow proper due processes. I will not mention contracts specifically because these are under investigation lest I compromise the process. There are three individuals that are implicated. I'm not going to mention the names, but it's senior executives that were part of the institution, including project managers. Two have been dismissed. They are obviously challenging the process. One, there is a current disciplinary process which is sitting at CCMA. One of them, when I asked him questions about four transactions, he decided to resign. Now, other than internal processes, we have instituted both criminal and civil proceedings. One for them to be criminally pursued, and secondly for us to recover whatever has been unduly received by them. Mainly, if you look at the slide, I don't want to say only as if it's insignificant. In the last financial year, it's about 18 million that has been incurred. Mainly, it's coming from prior years. In the following slides, we are clearly indicating that there has been consequence management. But over and above that, what are we doing as an institution to ensure that this does not recur? We have a complete turnaround at SCM. We have reviewed our policy, obviously, it had a number of gaps. But before we make a final award as well on major contracts, we make sure that it's submitted through an internal audit process so that all our contracts are fully compliant. Consequence management as well is changing the behavior. Everybody knows that if you don't comply, there will be serious consequences. So there are systems in place, and I can safely say if there's going to be any irregular expenditure in this financial year, it will be something that we had completely no control over, but there's a cancer of compliance as well as what's the case.
If I can ask, when do they realize that there's a problem in the STM in terms of tendering and so forth? I believe there's an internal audit which has to meet either monthly or weekly to detect that. When do they detect when there's a problem? You cannot go to 18 million without them detecting that.
Did you get the question?
Okay.
No, thanks, sir. Ordinarily, Chair, this, what we're reporting on is information that has happened up to the year ending 30th June 2018. During that period, the internal audit was not part of ensuring that there's processes that are put in place before we issue our appointment letters to service providers. In order to mitigate that, what we've done now is to establish a system where before an appointment letter is issued for any project that are implemented by Amatola Water, internal audit must verify that the process has been done correctly so that we do not, after appointing, find that the expenditure that has been incurred was irregular. So that goes as well for minor procurement. The SCM unit is centrally ensuring that proper processes are followed. They've developed a standard operating procedure that does checks and balances in ensuring that all transactions that we incur will not be found to be irregular after we have spend it on those items.
Other driving companies and maybe sometimes water boards have a system which enables them to detect any fraud on daily basis, where they will also look at invoices on daily basis. Are they having any system which can detect any irregularity?
A system cannot be 100% watertight, but as we identify, it's only then that we look at our control environment and identify those gaps. Hence, we've got a risk management process that identifies risks that emerge on a daily basis in terms of how we process transactions, and we develop mitigating strategies to ensure that we mitigate those risks not happening moving forward. But the system cannot be 100% watertight at any given point in time.
Okay, we shall come back to that when we engage with the questions and comments after your submission. Sorry to have disturbed you.
Thanks, Chair. The next slide is on fruitless and wasteful expenditure. This one mainly relates to interest on late payment of invoices and judgments that an amateur water has got with service providers. And also linked to that is bids that had to be cancelled because either the process was found to be flawed and all that expenditure accounts for fruitless and wasteful expenditure. There's been a movement of 969,000 in the current financial year in relation to this category of expenditure. The next slide here, I see has already talked on it, is consequence management on both irregular fruitless and wasteful expenditure. As to what have you done with amateur water? I will not repeat that slide here. I will only talk on the remedial action now. That talks on the SAM policy and delegations that are being reviewed, the turnaround plan and interventions that are focusing on strengthening management and improving the control environment, and also the appointment of an SAM manager in the current financial year, and also an establishment of a project management office to monitor compliance in line with what the Honourable Member asked previously. The next one, Chair, is update on the ATM debt. We felt that we needed to bring this one because also the Minister was involved as part of intervening in this process. It has got a timeline, Chair, of activities and events for the past two financial years. As Amatora municipality has consistently paid to effect payments on a regular basis. As Amatora Water has invoked the provisions of the Intergovernmental Framework Act, and also DWS is involved in this process, and also COCTA, and also National Treasury has also been engaged. Amatora Water has previously entered into a payment plan with Amatora municipality chair, entered into a payment plan with us for 3 months that ended in September 2017, and also they, however, defaulted soon as the following month in October 2017. We started with water restriction share of 20% as of the 1st of January 2018, based on their inability to effect monthly payments on what we billed them. This process led to a court interdict and restrictions that were lifted by Amatora Water in January still. Also, there was a subsequent instruction from the Minister to this effect. A meeting was then convened with the Premier, Minister of Water and Sanitation, the Amatora Municipality, and also board members and officials. For the 6 months, Chair, ending March, there have been 6 engagements with ATM, but all those engagements, they did not yield anything in the form of cash coming into our account for payment of the outstanding debt from the Amatora Municipality. The legal process is ongoing. 20% restrictions were effected again, only lifted in December 2018. We're currently billing Amatora Municipality about 8.3 million per month, but they submitted a payment plan that they can only afford to pay 5.8 million.
How much?
5.8 million. Now you will see that this is only a portion of what would build them on a monthly basis. They are running a shortfall of close to 3.5 million in terms of what we build versus what they can afford to pay. They started off missing the 5.8 million payment plan, but as the year progressed, there are some months where they did not even pay for the services. We issued a notice of 700 restrictions in November because we could see that payments are not coming forth. After an intervention now with the minister in December, they effected a payment of 12 million since December 2018, and they also, between January and February, this current financial year, have been meeting their monthly billing. They paid us 10 million in January and 10 million in February as well. We've engaged National Treasury because they are accumulating debt, and we are charging them interest on the debt they are accumulating. Their current debt as of December 2018 was sitting at about 168 million, but that isn't the current financial year.
Can I just add that on the old outstanding debt, and not talking about the current debt, we have an obligation as an institution, and it's a legal obligation to recover. So we've applied for summary judgment, and the matter will be heard next week.
The next slide, Chair, talks on our tariff proposal that we are undergoing as the Amatola Water. We've got three major clients that we send water to. One is the Amatola City Municipality, the local municipality, and also Buffalo City Metropolitan Municipality. We had a tariff determination exercise, and we had consultations with all these clients between October and November last year. We came up with draft tariffs that we presented to them. We've received comments and we submitted the draft tariffs to both the Department of National Treasury, SACA, and other institutions. The proposals shared were based initially on an assumption that NERSA would have given a CPI increase on electricity. But as of last week, we are all aware that NERSA has not given a CPI, but they have given a 9% increase. In terms of their tariffs. So we are in the process now of reviewing the proposals that we had determined earlier on, and we're going to communicate this to our customers. This is at the backdrop of them even complaining with the assumptions that we had as of last year, because they were indicating that they are not linked to inflation. Now we're going to come back to them with tariffs that are even higher than what we proposed because of the electricity increases that have been approved by NERSA. What we have proposed at the initial stage was that for the Amatola City Municipality, we had proposed a tariff of 6.85% for water, but we had included a 2% on that tariff due to risk of them not paying us on a timely basis. So their tariff had been determined at 8.85%. For the Buffalo City, this is one of the paying customers. They are paying 100% in terms of what we bill them on a monthly basis. We've determined a tariff of 6.85% for the 19-20 financial year. Also for the Ndambe local municipality, their tariff sits at 6.85%. All those tariffs share was before the increases that were approved by NERSA. We might just have to come back with revised tariffs now post the NERSA approval of electricity service. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair.
No concluding remarks?
Chair, from where we are as Amatola Water, having gone through the difficult times we've been through, as you've heard from the presentation, we have put in place measures to ensure that we're a sustainable organization, because the question might arise as to whether we are going concern or not. And as a Amatola Water, we feel strongly that we are going concern, and that we continuously check as a board from an oversight level. We are exploring innovative ways to be financially viable through growth strategy and financial recovery plan. As I've indicated, we are working hard in terms of ensuring that we implement our financial recovery plan. We're fast-tracking the development of an integrated master plan. The way we are doing this in terms of looking forward in increasing our revenue, we are working on completing the upgrade of infrastructure, particularly biased towards the Buffalo City municipality that has got capacity to pay and that has got higher demands for water. So based on that, we are of the view that our revenues are going to improve. We have strengthened our capacity in the secondary business to ensure that projects are implemented timely. As indicated earlier, we have appointed 4 engineers already who are registered engineers to ensure that we implement the project effectively. We have institutionalized risk management to deal specifically with the issues of irregularities because we have identified fraud and corruption as a high risk area for the entity, and the board, particularly the audit and risk committee, is monitoring the performance in this regard. So there is a call by the province to say Amatola Water should be a regional water utility, which is in line with the policy of the department. And because the water service authorities, some water services authorities within the province are failing to deliver to the expectation, and now and again we called upon to intervene as Amatola Water, and we have so far managed to be effective in this regard. So we are investing in new technologies as well to ensure that there is assurance of supply within the Eastern Cape. I would like to highlight that we request support from the portfolio committee to ensure that we recover from the municipalities that are not paying us, because that is pulling our performance down as an organization. We have tried our level best through the IGR process to engage with the ADM, and also we Magana, which we are not too vocal about in our report, is also pulling our ratios down. The intervention by the 2 ministers, with the previous minister having intervened in January to lift the first restrictions, was based on the fact that they felt that we need to engage more from an IGR point of view, and we exhausted all those processes that had agreed to with the previous minister and the premier. Hence, then we restarted the process again, and we restarted the legal process with the ADM. Whilst we are in that legal process, we're not entirely comfortable that that's what we should be doing against another government entity. However, due to the legal obligations, we had to, as a board, as an accounting authority, to proceed with that process with a heavy heart. We are continuing with it, but we are requesting more support to ensure that this matter is resolved speedily in the best interest of Amatola Water. The minister, current minister of Water and Sanitation, has been very supportive, and he has been on the ground almost on a weekly basis. Every second week has been in the Eastern Cape. His last visit was last week when we were dealing with the Magana issue. But the ADM issue has been very close to his heart. He has been working hard to ensure that the ADM comes to the party. However, there doesn't seem to be commitment and interest from the ADM to resolve this matter or to pay Amatola Water. The third part of it is that currently Amatola Water is, I would say in inverted commas, is subsidizing the ADM with the current supply, because their current bill is around 10 million and their current payment is around 5.8 million. And with that, they are also defaulting on that 5.8 million. As of in December, they were behind by 2 or 3 months. Currently, they are behind by 1 month in their payment. So they are not even sticking to this 5.8 million. And that situation is what has put Amatola Water in the backfoot as it is currently. And we want to also thank the department for having been supportive during this difficult time, because the department even seconded staff that has helped us with the turnaround plan, but we are appealing to the portfolio committee as well to assist us in mitigating this risk of non-payment by municipalities. In this case, being the Amatole District Municipality in Magana. I thank you very much.
I almost hear you saying, I want to thank the minister and the department and also the committee to continue babysitting you. I almost hear you saying that.
No, Chairperson.
That the minister is with her like twice a month, being a national minister. Anyway, that's the report from Amatola Water. Perhaps that we had requested the region concerned to also respond to the petitions so that we round up that reporting. If it is possible that we quickly rush to that. This is a 2015 petition. It should say so much. If I would imagine by now, there should have been a lot of progress. So that when we report, we don't talk about history. Perhaps reporting should talk about problem statement, solutions. Without much of any historical background to it. Without much of any plans. I would imagine by now, 4 years after the fact, we should be able to talk about, in less than 5 minutes, problem statement, then solutions now. Work in progress, if any.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Greetings to the honorable members and colleagues. In a nutshell, Chair, you would recall...
You just quickly introduce yourself.
Sorry, thank you, Chair. My name is Portia Makanya, the provincial head for the department in the Eastern Cape. In a nutshell, Chair, there were two petitions received from Parliament. One was Rebate East, and one was Ngubaya Temba. You would recall, Chair and members, that the Ngubaya Temba one has been tabled before this committee. So I'll give a brief update on that, but the Rebate East, I'll also just summarize what the issues are. In Rebate East, if I may start with Rebate East, the issue in Makana was specifically around Rebate East, the shortage of water supply in the area. At the time of the petition, in fact, Rebate East has a population or households around 200 households that rely on groundwater. At the time, there were 4 boreholes that should be operational, but only 2 of those were operational. Subsequent to that, the ECDC, as part of the partnerships with Makana, through the Office of the Premier, also drilled further boreholes to add to that. However, the petition was specific that they wanted the refurbishment of those existing boreholes, drilling new boreholes, that there was also a dam near the town that they felt could be used for domestic supply, as well as JoJo tanks. We, as a department, went in and did the assessment then, and we assisted in the refurbishment of the boreholes, and additional funding was allocated by Sarah Basman, where all 4 boreholes were now operational, including the additional boreholes drilled by ECDC. However, the ECDC boreholes were not really connected to the system and the network. Work in progress currently is that because of the budgeting processes, initial efforts did not yield results in that the JoJo tanks that we thought we would start with ended up being much more expensive than the funding that was available, and we had to properly budget for the intervention there. As we speak, 15 million has been transferred to Makana for Rebecca East, and it is looking at the issues collectively that have been a part of the petition, but is to look at what can we do with and have huge impact with the limited resources we have. And the major issue has been to say there is more groundwater that needs to be connected, but the treatment plant that is there is a 0.3 megaliter treatment plant, and it really doesn't meet the demand. There is a time for rationing where at certain hours it's on and off to be able to allow the reservoir, the storage reservoirs, to accumulate enough water for distribution later. So now that 15 million is to upgrade that plant at least to a 1 megaliter. Also to connect the ECDC boreholes that are there. The contractors are taking site on Tuesday. The tenders have already been awarded through the Makana municipality. We're working closely with the Makana municipality where they had advertised, and we were part of those processes, and the tender is awarded. So the site, we're handing over the site to the consultants on Tuesday, where those boreholes are going to be connected. The treatment plant itself and increased filters. In fact, let me put it this way, in a nutshell, that the treatment plant will be upgraded to treat up to 1 megaliter water per day, as well as the connection. Then additional boreholes, as funding becomes more available, is part of the intervention. That is where we started. We're parking the rainwater aspect because we do feel that that would be an interim solution, and well, this can bring about a larger solution. The COPTA colleagues is not here, but we had searched together with COPTA and the municipality, and part of the future allocations is to deal with appropriate sanitation services, because the town is quite small and still rely on VIP. But we must also appreciate the fact that the nature or the more formula that is used to allocate funding for service delivery in municipalities is largely driven by backlogs. And Makana as a municipality is one of those municipalities that were previously advantaged. Therefore, backlog numbers are very low, and so does the allocation to that municipality. Part of their activities is to, or MIG allocation, little as it is to look at all other aspects. However, that is just talking specifically to Rebecca. I will not talk about other broader allocations by the department to the municipality, because the issue was Rebecca specifically. Now, the other issue is the dam that has been cited as a future. That was an agricultural a dam that was developed for agricultural activities and not really for supply of domestic use. It does not, it's an off-channel dam. It's a small catchment, and even after rains, you do not find it sustainably accumulating a runoff. And therefore, we are looking at increasing the groundwater wells to improve the supply in that area. So, as I'm saying, that is work on site. However, there has been previous work done since the petition. Now, in terms of Inqubaya Themba, Inqubaya Themba is largely Cradock and Middleburg as the two urban centers, and with their communities. The issue, the petition there has not been detailed, but it has said that water challenges and the community demands value for money. So looking at that, we addressed the issue of water quantity, water quality, as well as sanitation for both towns. For Cradock specifically, we do know that Cradock water quality There hasn't been any complaints recently regarding the quality. Maybe also to say Kisani has been the leading municipality in the province, beating the metros, even the Northern Mandela, and in terms of excellence, not just compliance, but we remember that we judge them also over and above the norm, the excellence category. They've been leading, and in terms of water quality, that is still satisfactory. Our most recent monitoring processes are giving satisfactory results through our independent laboratories as well. But on the issue of assurance of supply as well as quantity, the assurance of supply has been largely affected by electrical cuts or outages, electrical outages that have affected the assurance of supply. Also, that the treatment that is there, the capacity, the demand is increasing, and the Kisani, in fact, is looking current, it's already awarded. It is the specifications committee that has just approved their tender for specifications for increasing the bulk treatment in Credo. However, in terms of the resource itself, getting water from the Fish River, it is a reliable resource. It is the treatment that they are currently trying to increase the bulk component of it through MIG and the department as well. But that planning process has commenced. However, on the current outages, what they have done is to procure a backup generator to back up and not rely solely on Eskom power. And those are in place. It is the industrial areas that they are also beefing up on backup generators. That is the part of water. The main issue has been around pollution, around Credoc, the wastewater. The wastewater remains a challenge. There have been a lot of spillages into Fish River, largely also because of your power failures. Vandalism is the major enemy, and tampering with the infrastructure is and theft has been one major issue. The pump stations being vandalized. In the past, when we were here, the main issue, it was really more on a poor operation and maintenance by Kisani at the time, largely because I think capacity and the readiness to take over the function from Inkubaya Temba at the time, it was so very at its infancy. But a number of interventions, also responding to our own regulatory processes as a department, where we've been issuing non-compliance and directives to the municipality. Part of that has led to a drop in the spillages, in that there were now backup pumps where there was none before. There were fencing and taking care of those pump stations. And also putting in security, especially on the Credoc water treatment plant, where there was none. So a lot has been done. On the Credoc treatment wastewater treatment plant itself, it is the technology that still seems to be a challenge even today, in that the type of aerators, or let me say one of the key components of the treatment there, seem to be a really problematic. They have appointed a service provider that is changing the type of aerators that are there to a system that can handle the matter better there, and that is what they are currently doing as Kisani. So as much as they have done a number, because if you recall, the last time we were here, Chesterton, it was totally dysfunctional. where even the service provider that used to assist them held some components of the infrastructure because of non-payment. That process has been, they've engaged the service provider and it has been fixed, although the issue of debt has not been written off or finalized between the two parties, but there has been a relationship rebuilding there where now they have been able to fix. But as I'm saying, it is a type of technology that seems to be very problematic in sustaining the functionality there. And currently they have appointed a service provider to redesign that. That is now for Cradock. They are still responsive to those villages as and when they are reported and when they occur. Then it is Middleburg. Middleburg relies largely on groundwater. As a department, we have assisted them in drilling more boreholes. However, as they were drilling additional boreholes to try and meet the current and future demand, there has been quality problem. A lot of one that is yielding good, that has a good yield, but the sulfur smell is an issue. Krisani has, through ARBIC, our ARBIC program, advertised, but they could not award due to the excessive or bloated quotations from the providers, and they have restarted that process for the treatment part of it. However, as a department, we know that there has been cost escalation and the need for additional boreholes that they are currently, they have revised their plans that is currently with our quantity surveyors, so that we don't have a project that increase in terms of size and quantity and quality. Learning from our other projects in other provinces, we've involved quickly the quantity surveyors and chief engineers to also assist us so that when we ultimately get the approval, it is justified and quantified properly. So as much as there is access to water at Middleburg currently, the demand is still exceeding the supply, and the quality on the water that is the borehole that has been closed until we treat it, it's hoping that we will be resolving that. In fact, it's a project earmarked for this 1920 financial year to be completed, both Ribet East and these two interventions in terms of groundwater development, it is to be completed in 1920. And the issue of wastewater in Middleburg, yes, there is a challenge, and as and when, you know, we have those villages, they do respond, but it still is a problem that needs to be addressed in a sustainable manner. I know that they are currently having some vacancies which they are procuring. They have in their current capacity building plan trained a number of process controllers, and by end of March they are hoping to place them adequately as per need in these plants that are currently operating at a very low capacity level in terms of human resources. I don't know if they want to add Krisani and Mark Garner.
Just do that.
Thank you very much, Chair. The first area where I will be focusing, we agree with what Uposhia has indicated, because we have been working together to deal with these particular issues. There was an area of a weak relationship between the two municipalities in the previous engagement. So there is a lot of work, Chair, that has been done towards that particular direction, relationship between Inguva Yethemba and Krisani, but also IGR structures have been improved. That is why this time around, Chair, you see one delegation of Krisani and Inguva Yethemba led by the two councillors that have been assigned by the executive mayors of those two municipalities. A lot of improvement in terms of one-on-one and also aligned meetings, whether it is between us and the department, but also with other relevant stakeholders. But also there are plans. You said we must not focus on plans, but there is history behind this particular problem. Because some areas in this particular municipality, although Portia is saying there is no backlog, in terms of bulk infrastructure, there is huge backlog. Because you had to address the issues of communities that were not given access to this particular system. So we have to deal with the issue of a bucket system. You have to address issues of areas like Rosemead and all others so that they are part of this particular system without attending to the bulk of that. So the capacity is a real problem. That is why both water treatment works and wastewater treatment works need to be attended to. But there is also the issue of age in terms of this infrastructure. That is why there is talk about asbestos pipes and all that. We are dealing with that, but because of financial resources, we can't deal with that just over this particular shorter period. But another area is that we have very clear plans in terms of attending to resource mobilization. Remember, this is a Karoo area, and there are characteristics in that particular area which is common throughout the Karoo region. So especially the Middleback area is suffering from that particular scenario, and that is why there are these particular disturbances. We also want to, we have started, improve public participation and interaction with our customers, because a lot of foreign substances are thrown in our own system intentionally to damage. Theft, that is saying we want to be very, very close. A huge amount of money has been deployed in issues of tightening security. CCTV cameras, also security on a 24-hour basis. That is just to guard against our infrastructure that is vandalized, infrastructure where copper is stolen. But also there is a working relationship with even areas where we are not handling. For example, there is a huge challenge in Inqoba Yethemba based on the infrastructure of electricity. The same thing that is happening on the water is also a problem. So when there is a problem in the electricity, and there we are also affected as Water Services Authority and provider, and there are working plans with Inqoba Yethemba to say, when they are billing us on the electricity that we are using, we must quickly respond and sometimes come with a plan to say, how do we make sure that they deal with e-payment to Eskom and all that. So we are also handling that with Inqoba Yethemba. Thank you very much, sir.
Any quick ones from Makana Municipality?
Yes. Yes, sir. Mtoli Sikoyo, the Speaker of Krizani District Municipality.
Thank you very much. My name is Mzuki Simpatwa. I am the Mayor of Makana Municipality. Chair, we just want to confirm what the official from the Department of Water and Sanitation, that indeed we have received the amount and that the appointed service provider is being delivered today on site to do exactly the work that she had alluded to. All other things, Chair, that have been said by the speaker next to me are the same in terms of the age of the infrastructure, in terms of backlogs, in terms of vandalism. We are all under the same situation, Chair. Thank you very much.
Okay, that then rounds up a report or a submission from the Eastern Cape. Members, let's take it one at a go. Any questions, comments? from the Amatola water. That also talks to the respective municipalities insofar as responses towards the petitions. I have been listening to the department talking to us about vandalism and theft of infrastructure. I would have thought by now this thing should have long been dealt with. This thing comes from when we started interacting, or rather when we started working in this committee. And I do not want to think that it's a new thing that we are dealing with. Even a committee before that, without having gotten any feedback, I do not think that they were dealing with a new phenomenon. 2015 in February, when we went to Gauteng, pumping station had been affected by a theft of copper in an Eskom substation next door in Palmit. And we made this point very clear that the department must move with speed in looking at having to declare all your water infrastructure as a national key point. We equally made it very clear that other countries, they have soldiers 24/7 guarding any water infrastructure. As we always say, water is life. It happened in Madibeng. Whether it was workers or it was communities that literally threw some unsavory substances in their pipeline. Clearly there's some mischief or mischievous person rather was punting his or her own business water tanker initiative. That is your economic and social sabotage. Now this is one thing that I cannot understand from the department. They're saying the same old thing. There is no movement whatsoever. Are you able, department, just in very brief terms, just to talk about this specific one, just on this specific one, declaring your infrastructure as national key point, where are we? Department?
Thank you, Jay. I've got Mr. Duncan Lukunga to talk about it. Thank you.
Very professor. Thank
you, the point.
Thank you, Chair. The minister has wrote to the president, and to date the minister is still waiting for the response from the president. Parallel to that, I have also engaged the South African National Defense Force, the Secretary of Defense. However, we can't move before there's an authorization based on the letter of the minister to the president. Thank you, Chair.
What is the content of that initiative, if I were to ask, without necessarily getting into any specific details? When writing, what do we aim to achieve?
It's for the minister to be authorized, because the national key point is not the function of the department, and therefore the minister cannot declare water infrastructure is a national key point without being authorized. That's in essence the authorization that the minister was requesting from the president. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I saw your hand, Mr. Baswan. Mr. Mbuni.
Thank you, Chairperson. I've got a question to Amatola concerning the proposed tariffs. I'm concerned about the 2% risk cover for non-payment that they've included. Eventually that means that people that do pay for their water, they must pay 2% more for their water. And I want to find out whether there is not another kind of solution where you can rather those municipalities that don't pay, that you can deal with them on a risk base, where if they're not on current, there will be an additional percentage they'll have to pay. But now it seems that everybody's got to pay for someone that's not honoring the agreement. Jefferson, and then Chris Harney, I want to ask whether they've sorted out the account system. When they took it over from the municipality, there was a long period where people did not get bills from them, and whether that's been sorted out. And then secondly, Chair, the wastewater treatment plant in Cradock. There's nothing wrong with that plant. It's just not maintained. We've seen in the Netherlands last year the same infrastructure, exactly the same infrastructure with the aerators, which is there now for 70 years, working 100%. But if you don't maintain, I've been twice in Cradock. The maintenance of that plant is a disgrace. And you haven't heard any problems. I had a phone call yesterday from Cradock complaining of exactly the same stuff that I've seen in 2015 and in 2016 when I was in Cradock doing oversight there. There is just no maintenance, and we should start to look at how we're going to discipline the municipalities. And I come back to the same situation or the same suggestions that I've made. It must be a use it or lose it method. The department must act on this. I know it's a COCTA issue because they report to COCTA, but eventually it's the responsibility of the Department of Water and Sanitation to make sure that our rivers are clean. And these plants and these municipalities like Rezani, they are polluting the country's rivers. Somewhere down the line, somebody extracts from that same river for drinking water, and in that area, they also utilize that water to produce fruit, vegetables, and then someone's going to eat it. So there's just no one in those municipalities that take charge of this, and we must criminally start to charge these people, and it's the Department of Water and Sanitation that needs to act. And I want to know from the department if we have spoken about this in the last 5 years 200 times. That's not going to be a lot. We've spoken more than 200 times about this problem that we have, where the department is not acting against municipalities or water authorities that is not adhering to the standards that's been given to them to get water cleaned back into our river system.
Thank you very much. I was next. No, unfortunately, these days, all my mochi works. I take charge of the portfolio committee every day. when sometimes you visit, I have been a teacher, principal by profession, like. But when I had to go and visit schools, when I'm tasked by the circuit manager, I will ask the principal or with their HODs, what's your performance? They will say, no, with mathematics, they are doing very, very great. Just open the door. Call any child outside. Ask a direct question. 22 times 22. Once the child says it's another 22, it's a problem of the school. Whatever you do, whatever the plans that you're doing, if down there the people are not appreciating what you're doing, you are doing nothing at all. but doing nothing. That is why when the chair was speaking here, was saying, don't tell us about your plans. Tell us about what you have done currently and going backward. You know, I'm happy with Amateur. They have come with their stakeholders, the two of them, Makana and Chris Hunt. And one of the questions from Ms. Peta. Yeah, you're saying, we've got a problem with debt collection. Municipalities do not want to pay. I would love to hear from them. Are they assisting you? Before you can ask assistance from the portfolio committee, are they assisting you in your agreement? I think you had an MOU, Memorandum of Understanding. And how are they assisting you? Because you have come with them, they want your assistance to buy a table and so forth. Mm-hmm. How do they assist you in the debt collection? I think you have just picked them there. I think they are good. I have noticed the unqualified report, which is good. You are not regressing to qualified, which is very great. But the challenge that I'm having is the yo-yo of the qualified, the unqualified, and it stumbles on two percentages. It's 56-44. This year it will be 56. The following year is 44. It goes on and on and on. Now, as we're speaking, it has gone down than it was last year. It was 56 last year, 44 this year. Are you failing to adhere to the steps? Taking steps as required by the auditor general, as indicated by the auditor general. You have indicated, Chairperson, that you want our assistance. The first thing is to start by you assisting yourself. Parliament has got this. What is Chapter 9 institution? The Auditor General. We have that Auditor General that must come to you and audit you, check and give you advice. We have got the department that must monitor you. Then the Portfolio Committee, where you come once, only once in a year. And when you are lucky, we will come to you maybe once or twice after 3 or 4 years to do oversight. Because we don't always, we are not in operation that we must sit with you every day yet. If you don't assist yourself, say a portfolio committee, can you prioritize those? There are so many water posts, not only the ones that we are dealing with. We've got the water entity, the entity itself. We've got the catchment centers that we have to deal with. We've got people that we have to do, and you are just one. Then we come to you, I think we came to you twice, if not thrice. We recommend, we make some recommendations. How do you take those recommendations? Do you implement those recommendations? Because we leave you there, and we say, please implement those recommendations and tell us. Do you implement them? Because we end up relying on the report, only the report now. My Khalid Chair. Please give us a report on 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We did not do anything. How do you assist yourself? On the question of your leadership, because, you know, when you want to assist yourself, when you're doing this recruitment, are you recruiting quality leadership? Your recruitment and selection on leadership. People whom you know that even if the person does not know anything now, but 3-4 months down the line, who will be able to take
to be in the power, on the level of being a real person, a senior manager, on basis of what is on the performance. Because in the 3 months I just give it, the person still learning the organization. But after that, the person must start performing. And looking at the supply chain management policies and try to maintain the requirements as per the AG, as per the portfolio control, whoever is monitoring you. Are you doing that? And if you are not doing that, how can you? If you have taken a standard 8 and made that person, I'm not saying this, if you take a person who's lower qualified, let me put it that way, because if I can say standard 8, maybe that I may be misquoted. Let me say a low qualified person, you give him or her a senior position. What do you expect? Low performance. The debtor states, I'm happy. You know, we cannot always bless you. No, I'm happy with Matamatole. You know, although you are not, you are still above the 30 days. Sorry, the debtor states, although you are still above the 30 days, you have at least 45, which is good. We can control. But the problem with it, you are number one in non-performance, according to the report that you have. How does it happen that you are able to collect earlier, but you don't have that muscle, financial muscle? How does it happen? Then as I'm closing, I'm saying, you know, with the creditors days, I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed with Amatol. 234 days. My belief is that the moment you don't pay your creditors debt, you are the one who are assisting in the crippling of the country's economy, more especially your constituents. How do you expect these people to be paying their employees, to be paying their own creditors, whatever? How do you expect them to be if you don't pay them? I know you will come and say, no, we don't have enough money, but you have used them. Service that has been given. I still believe all of you have got accounts from clothing shops. I can see the Torem Nanzga, Shaimalebu. If you don't pay, they phone you, these people. They want their money. Because they know that they have to pay their own stuff that is there. So why can't you pay in time, paying on things? Then another assistance that I will tell you about is the issue of speaking to your stakeholders. I don't know whether you have a time where you speak your own, you call your own stakeholders. The municipalities, if you have got it, those who are providing energy, you give them reports, a year annual report of your own annual report. You talk to them. You know, sometimes if you call your children around the table and start talking about your expenses and your challenges, the financial challenges, they start to raise up, we were killing our father or mother. This is not supposed to be done. Are you calling your stakeholders and indicate to them, tell them, you report it to them. This is our benefit, this is our credit, and this is where you are killing us if you don't pay in time. Are you doing those things? You said you want assistance. We're giving you assistance now. Are you calling these people? Do you have time when you call all your stakeholders? Say, Chrisan, you are Sbulala, man. You know, by not paying Makado, but it's a question of looking at each other. Are you having time of saying, please, man, this is our financial situation, this is how we've done things and so forth, so that people can start realizing that no, by me not doing the right thing, I am killing this thing. I am killing this thing. But the department, we even say, acting DG, we indicated to you last time that, can you communicate with Treasure on these grants that they are giving? It's not grants that they are giving to municipalities. You indicated these municipalities that are not paying. when this thing goes to them, the grant goes to them, you are able to get what belongs to you. If after you've done everything with them, firstly, you must talk to the municipalities through this water board. Have you done that? Because we advised you. You become a problem to us. We never know where the problem ends sometimes. You say, oh, lies sometimes. But these are my few questions. Chairperson, thank you very much. Thank you for giving me time sometimes, you know. You must go out always, and then I come here.
Yeah, we unfortunately are left with 1 week before we can really call it quits. I'm not sure if any of the following shall have been attended to in my absence. And perhaps also this should apply to Machalis, as his questions and comments. So that when Machalis responds, or presents its submission, it also shall have to take care of some of the issues raised, because at times they are the same. There is something, Department, that bothers us as members of Parliament. Unionized managers. Managers who are members of the union. In other words, senior officials. I'm aware that this also applies to yourselves as well in the department. If you can comment on that. You are a member of a union, and yet you are representing the department or the water board. There is something funny there, to say the least. I did hear the water board talking about supply chain management issues and the processes that you are following. In the AG's report, mention is made about the investigation unit that you set up, which is an independent one. Could that also form part of that process that you've engaged in? In your AG's report, it is stated there that you are involved in that process. And also what the AG says is that you do not have enough monitoring controls. I'm not sure whether that talks in the main to your internal, what you call this, audit structures. On your maintenance, you spoke about water board, and perhaps this also should be a question for municipalities as well, and of course also to Machalis. And then you are mentioning something about electricity costs, energy costs. As you pump your pumping stations, you use so much of that. And largely this is your municipal account, and in some instances, depending where you are, it is Eskom. And also part of what you do as well, as you do that maintenance of your dams that you say you are maintaining, you use so much of your chemical. I submit to the department, and we only got to learn about it a month ago from the department. Department hoards information at times, which is quite bad. Yeah, that's why, you know, you see the newspapers, we call some of you quietly somewhere, where we want you to tell us as to what is exactly happening. We get to know only a month ago that the department has got a factory that manufactures materials. But I can tell you one thing. You prefer to go to private suppliers to source your chemicals and also your pipes. We did not get much of any information from the department about what materials are they really manufacturing. But your water boards, pulled together, you have a strong buying power there. You can afford to come up with your own plant, manufacturing plant, and source from within, and get money circulating from within. Some of these things, they don't require any skyrocket mind. Because you can see here that you have the critical mass in producing this on your own. Because Makhalis, the Madibeng municipality, the mayor called saying, we're treating our water three times than we would have normally been doing. And that talks to three times in terms of your budget. But on the other hand, you have your own buying power, very strong ones. I mean, that budget of that municipality. If you were to have been having your own manufacturing plant of your chemical, you should have been doing far more, including what Rainwater has started doing. But unfortunately, I don't know what happened, but they stopped along the way. Out of that experience that they were having at Palmit Station, they started the process of having to go the energy mix route. But that process stopped. The net effect in terms of benefit down the line to that household, it would have been felt much more positively in terms of price of that water. So equally, your water boards having to be able to say, with the cost that you incur on your energy budget, had we been pursuing your renewable energies, we should have been able, and again, it is part of your risk management that you are applying, because you are mitigating against any of your outages in terms of your electricity. By having that electricity readily there. Now, I'm just also imagining what could be happening with your big industry players, like your Mercedes-Benz. If you run short of water and they are expected to be exporting, and that could easily affect negatively what they are expected to do, should you be going through such outages on your water supply is concerned. Now, these are some of the risk issues. I'm not sure whether they do get to be factored in your day-to-day start plan. And of course, the issue has been raised about debt solution, debt management solution. And we throw this back at the department all the time, because we have pulled the department together with Treasury, COFTA, and SALGA. Give us an integrated plan as to how best you want to deal with this problem. Last time we checked, the debt was in the region of about 12 billion rand. I don't know how far have we gone with that debt as we speak now. The department was meant to be pursuing that situation. Then on your water loss, you like it or not, private sector is calling on all of us from time to time as members of parliament. We are public representatives for a reason. That's the name that we get to be given. Now, I don't know, can't remember which entity that came knocking on the door, but they spoke about Noodgedachte. Apparently, to a point where these people, they get to know the details about where their processes are. And they were even indicating to me that the letter is in the desk of the DG. You have a canal there. That channel that water from your Noodgedachte scheme in Kerkhout to through the Nelson Mandela. That canal is said to be leaking of water. It needed to be sealed or something to that effect. Now, these are people who are saying they can be able to do this, and then they've gotten through a process that is required. But for some reason, the whole process has since come to a stop. But I can tell you one thing, the water goes out there on a daily basis. And on the other hand, you are saying that you want to reduce water losses. It doesn't make sense. Here are people who say they can reduce that by sealing off your canal, but on the other hand, you are simply saying you're not interested. That's what it means for having to delay any processes that you yourself had initiated. The one other issue I take a serious concern about, I have thought by now the department would have long dealt with the single purpose use of a dam. I can still even hear today, I can't remember who was talking about it from one of the department, or it was related to Rivigate. That we can still hear today that there are still some of those dams that are on a single use purpose. I had thought that the department would have long resolved that issue. I mean, the issue related to Jozine Dam is one of those that the previous minister, Nomvula Mokonyane, you know, had to go through an augmentation of that in covering those outlying areas, Makatini Flats and them. I was taking an interest Rubik East, whether it was Rubik East or it was Krizani, where there was meant to be some quotations received that were bloated, and I was just not sure what processes are you following there, because I would imagine you are supposed to have a budget that you are going to have. I take it that used to be literally taken from a database instead of advertising and getting to hear what people are saying. I'm quite concerned about that bloated quotes or high quotations. What processes are you engaging in that, so that you don't go back again to your irregular expenditure, wherein simply on a big project you go on a database. It happens from time to time. I know one of your water boards on a 8 billion rand project taken from the database instead of having to follow the proper channels. It's wrong, it's criminal, it's illegal. I think those are the few from where I'm seated. DG and your team.
Thank you, Chair. I think the colleagues have picked up the questions, and the entity will respond.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members. The first question was around the 2% risk cover. As to whether Mandela Water can look at an alternative solution. I think a point is taken from the Honourable Member. Really, it will be unfair to impose this percentage on the user, because if we impose it on the municipality, or if we include it in the tariff, it will be transferred to the user. So we'll look at an alternative then as to how do we come up with a risk mitigation measure to which will only affect the municipality without being transferred to the user. So the point is taken, we'll try and correct that. Then with regards to the implementation of the recommendations from the AG, indeed we are implementing the recommendations from the AG, and after each audit, management present to the board an audit turnaround plan with key actions on how they're closing out each audit finding. And in terms of those, they are monitored
by the Audit and Risk Committee, and also they reported on a quarterly to the board, and that monitoring system seemed to work. I agree that we would need to move out of an unqualified audit to a clean audit, and that's what we're striving for in the current year. Then the request for assistance as to the question as to whether we're assisting ourselves. Indeed, as a matter of fact, we're assisting ourselves. We have taken every recommendation that we have received or advice and guidance from the portfolio committee, and we have implemented them. And the reason why we requested assistance, it's not that we're not taking any steps, we're sitting back. As the CEO indicated in her presentation, we have applied for a summary judgment, which is likely to come out next week. But we're saying we're doing that with a heavy heart, in light of the fact that if another government agency is taking another government agency to court, we have done that as a last resort. We are really engaging our stakeholders, that is our stakeholders in terms of the municipalities who are servicing. They know our financial position. We've had one-on-ones with them to explain the situation, and we also continue in any forum, attending the IGR forums as well, and present the financial position of Amatola Water as a result of the debt. This has been escalated even to the Premier's office in the province. So it is a matter that we deal with almost on a daily basis at both board level and also at management level. In terms of the leadership quality that we are attracting as an entity, I think, I don't want to say today it's this for itself. We've looked for real leadership. We've taken time to recruit our CEO, CFO, and the leadership team, because we're trying to attract the best. And I think we are winning in that regard. We won't compromise on quality. We want to assure the committee that indeed we won't compromise on the quality, because it is important for the sustainability of Amatola Water. Then coming to the issue of weak internal control, indeed the AG have identified the areas of weakness, and management has put in place mitigation measures in terms of those areas of weakness. The main area has been the supply chain management. We have reviewed the policy, and we have ensured that the necessary committees are in place, and also the necessary delegations have been reviewed accordingly to ensure that we continue to we strengthen our internal control. With regards to what and water losses, our involvement there is we only involved as an implementing agent for the project. In terms of the water supply and reticulation thereof, it is the responsibility of the Water Service Authority, which is the Metro. So we don't have a direct role as Amatola Water in respect of that. As a stakeholder that we are working with, we can just alert them to the situation and leave it to them to take it forward. The energy costs are an area of concern for Amatola Water. As we're saying that we're looking at innovative measures and also research, we are looking at an option of renewable energy. And we'll see once we get feasibility reports as to whether it is a feasible option for us or not. The impact of the electricity cuts to the supply. That we are managing it in the sense that we make sure that our reservoirs, we've got enough water in the reservoirs such that if they can sustain us for hours to cover for the possible electricity cuts or electricity whenever we don't have electricity. So we have not had a situation whereby there is a community that is cut off completely as a result of that. because our reservoirs are such that we are able to manage the supply as much as possible. I will ask the CEO to, the unionized managers, we have, as the board, had an experience of that, and we have tried to deal with it, but we are mindful of the situation, of the fact that it is the employee's constitutional right to join or not to join the union. So we, it's a delicate matter that we're dealing with it. We're trying to handle it with caution because we also don't want to trample on other people's rights. Thank you, Chairperson. I'll ask the CEO to go with the rest of the questions. Thank you.
Okay, I think the chair has adequately covered. I'll just add a few responses. On the unqualified audit, yes, we are not excited with an implication of that. We're planning for a clean audit, and we've looked at previous audits and oral findings. I can safely say, as at the end of quarter two, we have resolved 80% of the findings, and we hope that by the end of the year we'll resolve almost 100%. So there's a conscious effort within the institution that we should try for a clean audit and not be excited by unqualified audit, because if there's still non-compliance, it's still an issue within the institution. There was an issue around the performance, the reality. I mean, the information that we're giving you is audited. If you look at other key performance areas, we're doing very well as an institution. The only area which is pulling us down is the financial perspective, and mainly it relates to ADM impairment. So as I'm saying, we have a financial recovery plan as an institution that we're looking at so that the impairment does not become an issue going forward. 234 days of creditors. The reality here is the Department of Education. They take anything between 4 to 6 months to pay us. And unfortunately, we can't use our own funding to pay suppliers. So that situation is going to perpetuate until we put stringent measures. One of the areas that we're looking at in the new agreement is that they must give us advance payments so that we don't perpetuate a situation of not paying creditors. But also I must say that on contracts where there have been irregular transactions and disputes, and specifically I'll talk about LTE, we have not paid them because they cannot verify the authenticity of their invoices. So those specific invoices will always put us in a bad light that we are not paying, yet there are disputes which are unresolved. But where there are no disputes, we pay within 7 days. That is the standard in the culture that we are trying to inculcate within the institution. Stakeholders' engagement, we present to stakeholders so that they understand the challenges that we have presented the annual report. Yes, the reason why there is a change of perception around Amatola Water because of the continuous engagement that we're having with stakeholders. We don't only present the history, but we're also presenting our turnaround plan and the gains that we have achieved thus far. SCM, I think we spoke about the SCM forum that we put in place. Mainly it was the policy and it was the culture. People were just not compliant. We've reviewed the policy, we've put in standard operating procedures. There's also a quality assurance measure that we've put in place that before we award particularly major contracts, there must be an audit of the process so that we have compliant awards at the end of the day. Electrical pump efficiencies, yes, there's a decline, but the target is 86%. In 2017, we achieved 83%. In 2018, we regressed, but we are still within the parameters which have been set by the department. And the reality is that we may regress. If we don't invest, we don't maintain our plans, there is going to be a regression, but we are looking at that. Why don't we manufacture pipes? Why don't we produce our own chemicals? The reality is that it's a very good initiative, but as an institution, we still need to fix the basics. Until we stabilize, there are certain innovations that we cannot implement at this point in time. But I must say, if you look at how much we spend on chemicals, it's 2%, which is reasonable. Now we have to do a cost-benefit analysis whether producing those chemicals internally will cost us 2% or 3%. That's something that we can look at in the future, but the focus now is on stabilization of the institution. Alternative energy, the chairperson I think has alluded to that. We're looking at innovation when we presented our way forward. Where
manufacturing I'm referring to, when I talk about buying power, talking about all your water boards bringing themselves together and bring everything into one pot and start manufacturing.
Okay. I think we'll start that engagement. It makes a lot of sense, Chair. Alternative energy, yes, we're looking at alternative energy. I must say that we tried at Nahu. The information is something that we discussed at a management level. The information that we get from engineers is that the capacity of those generators is far less than what is required by the plant. We bought a generator at Nahu. It kept because the capacity that is required to pump is not there, but it's something that we're looking at. Load shedding, yes, particularly here is the Okendo Nazi. It has been a major factor in terms of water disruption, but what we're doing is to increase our storage capacity when even to a point of buying JoJo tanks so that if there is no electricity, at least there's enough storage to pump to the recirculation system. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, there are two separate delegations in the Eastern Cape. And the common factor in those delegations is our department. So department, Makana and Amatola Water Board, Krisani, Inuba Yethemba and the department. So the issue that has been addressed to Krisani, the first one is the issue of our system in terms of invoicing, repay payments of those invoices, and that speaks to our strategy to come closer to our own customers. And that will speak to the issue of data cleansing, issue of talking specifically to those who are supposed to be assisted in terms of the provision of free basic services. We are handling that, we are dealing with that. There are teams that are doing door-to-door, getting into our customers. Yes, we have not reached the stage where we can safely say we are happy about our interaction and our billing, but we are still looking seriously into that particular area. The second area is that Honorable Basson is raising that he does not believe in what we are saying. But the facts are, before 1994, in Craydock, that was the capacity that was there in terms of wastewater treatment works and the technology that was there. And anyone who will understand that area now, the connections that are there, as a result of the people who are not benefiting to this kind of a system, flush system, you will understand that there is a lot. That is why there was this particular issue of the environment, that a lot of our waste is going through the environmental areas, river included. Because of what we did here, and after we were here, our focus was on security. That is what we were presenting with the department. There was a lot of monitoring in our bulk line and also in our wastewater treatment works. And therefore, there is an improvement now on the waste that is coming from household to our wastewater treatment works. And now, the capacity of that wastewater treatment works, which was not meant for this volume, is now having some strains. And the technical people are saying to us, technologically, you have to look into this particular kind of technology. These aerators, we were informed when we were here and when we were coming from here that this technology, there is a service provider in Craydock that can handle this particular matter. Through our procurement, that service provider was engaged. And there was, that is why in our detailed report, there is a period where there was an improvement. But that technology now is taking strength, and technical people are saying to us, we need to change that technology because this one is not coping with these volumes that are getting into these wastewater treatment works. The issue of cold chair that you are raising, that issue, it is just maybe the terminology that was used. It is an open tender, our officials are saying. But during that particular process, they are picking up in terms of what is available in terms of budget. The budget is far less than what is going to come from tenderers. And therefore, awarding is a suspect because you can't award when you know exactly that you don't have this amount of money. So financial resource is a challenge in terms of us addressing this particular issue now. Then the last one, Chair, is the issue of consequence management. Chair, specifically on the area of Ngobaya Temba, the person that was leading in that particular area is no more with Chrisani. And it is only because after a thorough engagement with our officials, we were saying, is it not because of the personnel that you are deploying to deal with this particular issue? So it was a different person. Now someone who is taking care of that now is here in this particular delegation. And we have seen a lot of improvement when we are also focusing on this issue of consequence management. And the whole package to us is saying there is now a lot of improvement. And attending to this technology and the capacity of our wastewater treatment works is also going to add in us improving on the efficiency of delivering this service. Thanks, sir.
Okay. Makana? Soda?
Yes, Chair. We are also experiencing some challenges. We confirm the historical debt that we owe to Amatola Water, that some of us have inherited, Chair. But Chair, that is also caused by the fact that the municipality itself is under serious financial challenges, where the municipality is owed by, firstly, government departments to the tune of 12 million rands, and also owed by businesses, black and white, to the tune of 39 million rand, and it's also owed by residents to the tune of 390 million rands. So in total, the municipality is owed up to 450 million rands. And we owe Amatola, Eskom, around 70 million rands. So really, we have got those financial challenges. But what are we doing to increase the revenue collection? We have adopted a debt incentive scheme where we are saying to residents of Makana that if they have got a debt that is 120 days old and older, they can come forward. We will take away 50% of that debt. And then on the 50% that is remaining, they can come and make an arrangement. So that's also one of the ways in which we want to make sure more people pay for the services that they receive from the municipality. We are also in conversation with Amatola in terms of a repayment, and sometimes we default as a result of the steps that I've raised before, Chair. So yes, we are doing all we can to make sure that we recoup the money from the residents for the service that they've received from the municipality.
What happened to roads investment? You got a story the other day that talks to roads investment having three meters that were taking care of the entire huge institution to a point where the institution would be willingly saying to the municipality,
you know, a gesture of goodwill. Here is 8 million rand, you know, contribution, donation, whatever you call it. I got to hear such a story.
I am not aware of that, Chair. I've not heard about it.
Ms. Makani? On the same issue.
Specifically on the road issue, Chair. Makanya is previously in the few recent years has been really accumulating a lot of non-revenue water. We funded through ACEP, there was a program called ACEP, where we dealt with, we assisted them to develop water conservation, water demand and conservation plans. Part of it was to look at identifying big customers that can afford. For instance, Fort England Hospital was not being built. The billing was not correct. There were meters that were dysfunctional. Roads had residences which had meters that were dysfunctional. So that project that we brought in identified all those biggest users, Fort England Hospital, roads as well, which we know they can pay in trying to improve the revenue. So we selected certain users where we had gone in and try and assist Makana through that program. Roads have got its zone meters. It is not three residences that are being built. Because we found Guti, there's been a lot of meters that have not been working. There was a dedicated program where zone meters had been put in to be able to build them correctly, because they were built incorrectly because of dysfunctional meters largely. So it's not three, it's zone meters.
Okay. Sorry, you wanted to add something, Kish? You covered. Okay. Okay. Before we run out of time, let's speak less. Mr. Mbuna, not at this time.
Thank you very much, Chair. No, I have got this issue of study tours. Most of us go out on study tours. What is there to study? Because when you take a study tour, you look at maybe it can be a municipality or the country that it has got more or less the same challenge that you have, and then you have to study how are they improving. What do you do with the findings then? Cannot be just a wasteful expenditure. In one of the countries that we visited there, in Netherlands, you cannot say, no, it's well, it's better off, yes, it's 700 years old and so forth, but we went there to learn. You know, one of the things is that you, under the municipality, that if a person says, no, we're poor, you will be having kettles, you will be having a nice car, you will be having a powerful house, double story, but you say you are poor. You must have an advice. As a municipality, you must work hard to talk to your municipality of your people. Two, you know, when you see that people there in a municipality where there are almost 100,000 people, then all of them, or almost 90% of them, are not paying. They're not paying. Which escalates the financial trouble. What do you do? Do you keep on saying, now I'm going to slash this money by 20-50%? Oh, no. Because they're not paying, let them not continue. Because there are things that you see, now, even if I do want to, these people are not going to pay. But if you come with something that will entice them, because even if a person is not working, if he knows that he's getting more water, and you explain to the person that water needs cleaning, there are people who must look at that particular water. And then when those people are cleaning the water, they'll need to be paid too. There are chemicals that have to be bought too. You know, people are being encouraged. And then you say, no,
all of you, you know, we spoke about this thing in our constituency, with the trust. He said, no. What if we introduce, what if we introduce a flat rate? They are not paying. Anyway, they are not paying. How much can you pay there with that communal tap in the street? People will say, no, we are comfortable with all of us in the street paying 100 rand. You go up and up and up until you find a common ground. Unlike saying, these people are not paying at all, and they continue having this debt. With that in mind, you start talking to your stakeholders up, the water board and the fight. I think you can get a common ground. I know maybe it may sound naive now, but you need to have the responsibility to readjust, refresh what I've been about. No, this is the way of doing it. Other than a person, you know, you give a lift to a person says, I don't have money. You say, no, but I'm using petrol here. I'm using petrol here. You see, and then the person, you know, I've got party from, instead of paying 50 rand, I can give you 15 rand. Why do you leave that person? Because you can add at least a drop of petrol with the 15 rand. Give the person the lift and you go. Other than saying nothing, you see. So you come up with some mechanism, municipalities, so that you at least you have got something done. Nothing at all. It was just my comment. I don't expect you to answer that, but think about those things, and then you will see a difference.
Chairperson, we all know, we've got all the experience in the world. Myself was a councillor for 18 and a half years in the municipality of Maribek. We know what technical people do, want to build new stuff. Don't want to fix the old stuff, because there's not a lot of money in fixing stuff, but building new stuff, that's where the money flows, and that's where the corruption starts. Secondly, Jefferson, I am still not sure whether Chris Harney is billing the residents of Cradle. He was playing around it, but he wasn't saying, to tell me, yes, you are billing, I can follow that up, or no, we're not billing. Because if you're not billing, it's now for nearly 3 years that people are using water which are not paid for, and eventually you would like to, when you do that billing, people will be behind for many years, and that will be a result of non-payment and strikes in that area. I want to answer on that.
Simple statement.
No, thank you very much, Honorable Chair. This is Councillor Masawi from the Nova Itama Municipality, member of the Bureau Committee responsible for BTO. I want to respond directly.
Responsible for?
BTO, Budget and Treasury.
Oh, yeah.
I want to confirm, Chair, that the Chris Harney is indeed billing in Nova Itama both units, Cradock and Middleburg. Yes.
Okay, thank you for that submission and the questions and comments thereof. without waste of time, we shall move straight to Makhalis. It's now 12 o'clock, according to my watch. Feel free to listen to those that listened to you. Okay, let's stretch for 2 minutes while the Makhalis is organizing itself, and while Amatola is settling well behind Makhalis to prepare themselves to listen to those that listen to them. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for that,
let's meet with them, the chair.
Thank you very much. I've got a small delegation. Mahali is to my left. Nomsam Kunika is the deputy chair. And far left, Stavila Gazi.
Sorry, is that a new board, Marat?
No, it's not a new, it's the old board.
Same old board.
Yes. The process is on now as we are seated their interviews. Vilagazit on chair of our capital investment. Sandile Mchize is our CEO, and Mr. Poletti is our chief financial officer. Chair, with your permission, allow me to raise two issues up front. If I'm jumping into your space, I'm apologizing up front. The issue of debtors and the issue of capital funding is an issue across all water boards. Now, on the first issue of debtors, the legislation for a water board to collect, including the regulations, are onerous. Now, if we want to collect, for an example, from Tamazembe, we go through a difficult process, including writing letters to ministers, go through an intergovernmental process. Yet in that Chauke, Honorable Chauke, we are expected to then meet 30 days on the creditors' side. Now, the rules of economics do not allow. They do not allow.
Who's the
honorable chair? I wanted to say Nguni. I apologize. I don't know what.
Are you married?
Yeah. I'm embarrassed.
Maybe the chair of Makalis knows something that we don't know.
Yeah.
My apologies, Honorable Nguni. And so. The rules of economics do not allow. You would realize that Makhali's, our creditors' days are good, our debtors' days are bad. Yet we are surviving, but if you look closer and analyze our financials, it affects our profitability. We should have made a better surplus of bottom line in the last financial year than what we have made. The second issue, with the challenges of the economy generally in the country, I think we need to look at the PFMA and other regulations and assist water boards. I know Mgeni and Rainwater, they do go to the open market. Assist us to find ways of going to the open market. And treasury needs to be brought into the picture in this regard. I'm raising this because in areas where the trade force scheme was supposed to have been implemented, I think the president visited the movie in 2004, or 14 years. Now it's 5 years later, and those communities were promised certain deliverables. That project is almost at 4 billion rand because of escalation in cost. It has not started, and nobody can raise that fund internally. So I am raising this because those are the two challenges that as an organization we are having. Municipalities that are not paying us and secondly money to fund our capital project. We are targeted to
we've raised this issue with the department before. I don't remember us getting any response that is formidable. The risk of anyway. Can we get to hear what the plans of the department are in dealing with this issue? We've been talking about it. The department has not been responding to the issue. Debt collection. The water boards are struggling. Your department is equally having its own challenges. At the end, the department is the mother to all of these water entities. Has to take full responsibility to the entities that belong to the Department of Water and Sanitation. Okay, can you take us into confidence, TJ?
I thought Paul Neil will give us that overview after the presentation, Chair.
Okay, can you take us through and take us into confidence?
Paul?
Good morning, thank you. In November 17, this portfolio committee invited Treasury, Togger, and Cuffett to come and explain and talk about the debt. They then decided that we should be part of the IMTT that had already been formed to collect the ESCOM debt. So since December 17, we've been part of that committee. We've attended all meetings. The IMTT decided to appoint a panel, an advisory panel, to go and look at what the problem is. This advisory panel went to 7 municipalities and they collected information from a further 20 municipalities. They came up with their report in November. The report is mainly based at what municipalities should be doing to correct their problems at the municipalities. I made a quick list. For instance, they said minimize vacancies, no more acting incumbents, suitable qualified officials should be employed, enforce consequent management, then on their billing, this is municipalities billing, appoint debt collectors, ensure correct tariffs when working out the tariffs, proper billing, disputes, look at disputes, resolution, reconcile unclaimed deposits. These are all things that municipalities had to do. Unfortunately, when we started, our debt was 12 billion. It's already risen to 13.7 billion at 31 December. So during this year that we've been part of the IMTT, the debt has increased by 1.7 billion rand. So unfortunately, we haven't found the solution yet. It hasn't helped us to this day, to date.
What is the solution?
I don't have the answer. I think maybe if we can, in certain cases, cut out the municipalities, maybe water boards, charging customers directly, but I'm afraid I don't have the solution. I think ring-fencing the equitable share would be one thing, because those municipalities are all getting money for their social portion, but they're still not paying us, so they're using that money to do something else with. So that will really help if maybe Treasury can pay directly to the water boards or to the water trading entity, that social portion of the equitable share, that would already be a start. But I think that also maybe to where the bigger customers are involved, where the water boards and WC can bill the customers directly, like we do with ESCOM and SASL, we bill them directly. We don't go through a municipality. So maybe bigger customers, we can do that directly so that money doesn't go into the municipality and then get lost at other expenses, and it comes straight to the entity providing the service. But I'm afraid I don't have the answer. I think that's going to be a political decision.
Okay, can we get to hear what municipalities have to say? Those that are here? Especially on a matter that talks about ring-fencing your equitable share. Can you just
comment and reflect on that.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Chair, I wouldn't be lying in this important setting. This is one of the challenging areas in the municipalities. Ring fencing, equitable share. It would be unrealistic to can say that here that is possible. Remember, this particular matter is actually competing with other demands in the municipality, whether they are service delivery related or otherwise. So for whatever reasons, therefore, you have to apportion that particular equitable share so that it can meet those demands, even though you'll find that the demands are actually in excess of what you can be able to cope with or to supply in terms of your payment and so on. So it would be unrealistic, though I think it is quite, you know, what we aspire to do as municipalities. But in the current situation, scenario that we're faced with the huge backlogs, it's quite very difficult. Thanks, Chair.
It's quite a tough area that we need to deal with, but we have to deal with it. It may not be easy. In fact, it will not be easy. But we'll have to deal with it. Mr. Passan?
Chairperson, I think the biggest challenges in this instance is that municipalities are no longer making money out of water. In fact, they're also not making money out of electricity anymore. So they use the equitable share to try to balance out the shortfalls. And that's the challenge we have. It's the water losses, let's keep to water, the water losses are huge in municipalities. In some municipalities, up to 70%. They get billed for the water, and they don't receive the income on that. So, you know, the approach on this should surely be is fixed infrastructure, adding more water. Eventually, Jefferson, the demand becomes so much bigger, and we've got to put more infrastructure on the ground. While you put another 20 megalitres on, the water loss is 30%. 30% of that 20 megalitres is also going to go down the drain. It's going to go out of those pipes where it leaks. We've got to start fixing the pipelines, and then start to ring fence the income of water. So they don't use the little bit of income they get. They don't start to use that for salaries and other stuff. But if we're not going to tackle the problem at the source of the problem, where it starts with leakages and the pricing of water, we're not going to resolve this problem. We'll see next year. You'll come and sit here if we are all here. They will be at 14 billion and odd rand. It's just going to run away with us because we are not speaking to the real problem, water losses and whether municipalities are making money. You go and ask any municipality, what is the cost of your water? They can't tell you. But they really don't know how many electricity they use for the water. They can tell you on how much, because they run at meters on their water purification plants. It tells you, I'm using so much electricity. They can tell you on the chlorine or the chemicals they use because they are built on that, what they buy. But they don't know what's the cost of their water.
Mr. Son is correct. That's the one side of the coin. The other side of the coin is, you will recall yesterday's meeting, I think it was La Pelle, is a municipality where they are already holding back the equity that are going to be redirected for that payment. Am I correct in saying that? Yesterday, one of the boards indicated they have applied to Treasury to have that amount paid over to them. So that's what we virtually decided on or took note of yesterday. And then we must take note of this suggestion too, to utilize that, because unfortunately it's not used in the correct way in municipalities. Thank you.
The chair of Makhalis started it. He started it by saying, you know, chair of the committee, you know, I hope and trust that you're not going to venture into your space. So he did successfully venture into my space. Then I took it from you to really get to spread it through the meeting. So that's the danger that you put yourself into. So I'm following what you had started. That's why I opened it up. Okay, thanks, Mr. No. You can proceed, sir.
Chair, for the year under review, we had planned to have a clean audit. We failed to have a clean audit, but for a seventh year in a row, we've got unqualified audit opinion. We still venture to get a clean audit. Our governance structures are good. We have improved dramatically in stakeholder management. I can safely say we have met all municipalities in our area of supply, some of them more than twice or three times, and I personally lead those delegations. Makhalis is a far better organization. We have achieved over 90% of our target. The CE will take us through the process. Up front, the chair, we want to thank the minister, the department, the portfolio committee, collectively and individually, because some of the committee members do engage us off record. Maybe I shouldn't be saying this way on record, but if you phone the honorable person and speak to my CE on an issue, engage in your constituency area, we do talk and try to resolve the issues. That is us, Chair. CE will run through the issues. We are happy to be here and are proud as an organization, I must say. Thank you.
Greetings, Jefferson, committee, honorable committee members, and my fellow colleagues. The presentation is structured in eight parts, Chair, but it touches all the areas that we looked at when we were compiling the annual report. I'll just go straight to the presentation, Chair. Starting with the mandate of Makhalis Water, that it's a water board created under Section 28 of the Water Services Act, and we have two mandates. One mandate comes from Section 29, which is the Water Services delivery mandate. Then Section 30, which is the any other business that relates to water service delivery. So those are that's the mandate that guides us in our strategy, in our operation, Chair. When you look at the footprint of Makhalis Water, we operate in about 42,000 square kilometer area, covering northwest, almost the whole of Bojanala district municipality, except for Madibeng and Keseng Reserve local municipality. We cover areas of Limpopo in Waterberg region, three municipalities there, with the aim of covering four municipalities, and then part of Gauteng, which is the city of Tshwane. We have two catchment areas, the Crocodile River and the Pinas River. The structure of Makalis water at the moment, it's approved for 306 employees with highly technical and financial skills set. When you look at the infrastructure that we own, we have a Falkorp water treatment works with a 270 megaliter design capacity. We have a clip lift. Treatment works has just been upgraded to 42 megaliter a day treatment plant, a Kalinen 16 megaliter plant, and a Valmanta treatment works is a 12 megaliter plant. The three of the bottom plants are all in the area, is in the area of city of Tshwane, and Falkorp is in the northwest of Rustenburg. Total capacity, design capacity of our plant is 340 megaliters a day, with a pipeline length of 740 kilometers, almost from here to Bloemfontein, with a reservoir capacity of 340 megaliters. So 314 megaliters. When you look at who are our key customers in terms of Water Services Authority, in the Falkorp scheme, we have Moses Kotane local municipality, we have Rustenburg local municipality, and Thaba Zimbi. Then in the Klip Rift, we have city of Tshwane, which is supplied through Klip Rift, Valmastal, and Kalinen. And then in the, we have Modimole, Mokopong municipality supplied through Klip Rift, Bela Bela local municipality supplied through Klip Rift. We have a new addition in the Klip Rift system, which is the Moritele local municipality, which we have just started to supply, but we are still supplying them via the infrastructure of the city of Tshwane, of which we believe once we have completed the Moritele South valve pipeline and reservoir system, we'll be able to supply them directly through our infrastructure and then cut off the city of Swan as the middleman. When you look at the strategy of Makalis Water, in 2013-14, Makalis Water developed a five-year plan, which is ending now in this financial year, in end of June 2019. What we have done as the board of Makalis Water, we have then looked at what we have achieved in the past 5 years, and then we have looked at the long-term strategy which we developed last year May, which will take us to 2023, to say what we want to achieve. Basically, when you look at the strategic journey that is presented there, currently we are in the phase of aggressive growth, Chairperson. You will see when we look at the trend analysis how we have grown the organization over the past 5 years. We're looking at the needs and the demands in our area of supply. Is that we are still going to be in this phase of growth for an extended period, because there are still communities in our area of supply that are not having water, there's not even bulk infrastructure there. So we need to look at means and ways to say how do we fund and finance this infrastructure so that we can aggressively move forward towards achieving the water for all. vision of the country. What are our key success factors when you look at what we have implemented in the past 5 years? It was the capital expansion program to meet the prevailing demand and address the current water shortages in our supply area. We have looked at also the collaboration between public and private stakeholders in development of capital infrastructure. So it's a typical triple P approach where mines in the areas of Rustenburg and Kalabim, we have worked with Magaliesberg Water to ensure that we build the bulk infrastructure that we are currently now using to supply not only the business community but also the social part of the water demand, which is our communities. We have grown the asset value of Magaliesberg Water to just above 3.6 billion chairperson over the past five years. And when you look at the water supply, we have just surpassed 90 billion liters per annum with a revenue of almost 600 million per annum. We are able as an organization to generate cash and cash flow from our operating activities. So we are a going concern, Jefferson. We are not shy to say that we, as a government entity, we are ready to continue in existence to the future. What are the challenges that we have encountered in implementing our strategy, Chair? You see that there are communities within the area of supply of Magaliesberg Water, so it's not expanding outside of our area of supply, where we do not have, where the communities do not have access to bulk water services. Like in the area of the local municipality, we don't have a bulk footprint. Although when you look at Bujanala is well supplied in terms of water services, but Keseng is still suffering. Madiben, we had a footprint in terms of operation and maintenance, but we are not supplying the bulk water there and also other sanitation services. So there is a need also to look at how do we grow and ensure that the people of Madiben get access to bulk water services and efficient one for that matter. And then the area of Lephalale, where it's in the Waterberg district municipality, where we are already supplying 3 municipalities in the Waterberg district municipality, and we feel that if we were to expand and supply the Lephalale, we will then be able to meet the water needs of the Waterberg district municipality. We have infrastructure capacity constraint, Chairperson, where you find that we have infrastructure, but the population growth in the area is so high that the current infrastructure is not coping with the demand. A case in point, in Moses Kotane, there's an area called Madela Pool. There we have a pipeline. It was designed long time ago for 1 megaliter a day water supply. Currently, the demand now is about 2 to 3 megaliters a day. So we are meeting not even half of the demand of that area. So those are typical challenges that you are experiencing, and it's not a quick solution to put up an infrastructure to meet such a demand. It needs not only the human resources, but also the capital resources in terms of financing. So we have developed a bulk infrastructure master plan in 2014, covering the whole area of supply where Magaliesberg Water is operating. In terms of the master plan, we have a plan spec phase 2 where there is a serious need for water in the Rustenburg local municipality and in the Rural-Bafokeng authority area and in the Montescotane local municipality. We have identified those projects. We have developed even the implementation readiness studies check. We are just now looking for funding to fund those studies. So we have beautiful plans on the table. We are just ready for anybody to say, I'm willing to fund and to partner with you, Makalish Water, and then ensure that we have water supply in those areas. We have a phase 3 finance-back scheme, which looks at getting water from Mafenya Reservoir into Hesen local municipality area. That will ensure that we have a footprint, and also will ensure that the people of Hesen have a sustainable supply of water from a stable source, which is the Falkop scheme. And then we are looking at the funding constraint of the Molitile South Park project, Chair, that I spoke about. We have plans, we have already started the project, but we don't have enough resources to conclude or finalize the project. So we will need to look at partnership and partnering with either private sector or even with the department to see how we can speed up the supply of water in Molitele, but only the southern part of the municipality, including the Ngobi area. Then there's a clipboard scheme. The chairperson, when he started, he talked about it. The scheme started as a 2 billion scheme, but because of lack of funding and with cost escalation, after 5 years, it's sitting at about 5 billion now. So it has doubled the original cost estimate that it was estimated about 5 years ago. And there's a serious need for water in Mokopong, so the scheme does not only end now in Modimole as it was originally designed, but it's now focused to go all the way to Mokopong. So those are the serious challenges we are facing. To say we have a master plan, we have even studies that have been concluded and costed, but now the issue is the funding. Once we get the funding, we'll be able to implement this project, and you will see as I go on with the presentation how we have aggressively implemented capital infrastructure funding and implementation in the past to more than double the current infrastructure of Makalish Water to show that we have the capacity and ability to implement the infrastructure upgrade that we are talking about. We just need the funding. I will then touch on the financial performance, Chair. If you look at the revenue of Makalish Water, maybe
I thought you would say the CFO. Next to me will then take over.
My apologies. I will ask Mr. Moseki to take us through the financials. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, honorable members. I think the CD, because we were working on the presentation together, really felt like we could do it. But I think as we had started, our revenue basically went up by 14% between 2017 and 2018 to 586. Other operating income was 43 million. What we included here would have been interest on debtors. We basically charge interest on delinquent debtors, so it would have been included here, but also other income and management fees that we have got as an implementing agent for the department. Investment income was 21 million compared to 18 million in 2017. This is purely the return we got from our investment, cash in the money market fund.
Our expenditure employee benefit costs was 142 compared to 135 in 2017. Operating expenditure 316 compared to 281, so it went up by about 13%, which is more or less in line with the revenue growth over the 2 years. Depreciation went up by 27% because of the number of assets that we basically capitalized during the financial year. There were a number of assets that basically came into operation. I think the team spoke about assets that we built with our with the mines and stuff like that. So a number of them actually were capitalized during the financial year of 2017-18, which resulted in depreciation costs going up significantly over the year. But as we said, it's linked to the asset, the increase in the asset base. Finance costs, we didn't have any because we didn't have any borrowings for the year. Our surplus was just under 115 million compared to 92 million for 2017, a 25% increase. Our statement of financial position, what we used to call balance sheet in the old days, our current assets increased to 550 million from 447 in 2017. And the breakdown of that amount to be our cash and cash equivalents, it was basically 7.6 million compared to 30 million in 2017. Unfortunately, there were a number of our debtors who paid literally a week after our year, and I think they were also managing their own closing cash balances because they also had year ends of 30 June, so they literally paid a week after year end, which impacted our bank balance for the year, but clearly improved theirs for their year end. So literally a week after year end, we got about 66 million into our bank account. But as of 30th of June, we had about 7.6 million cash in our bank account. Receivables, which is basically debtors, they went up significantly. I think the chair has spoken about the challenges that basically we are all facing. I think the challenges for all the water boards and probably Eskom as well. They went up quite significantly to 46 compared to 279 in the previous financial year. Financial assets is really like cash that we've got in money markets. 109. Did decrease like over the year from 115. Inventory stock that we really had in the area was 26 million. Our non-current assets, I think the significant one is basically the PPE of 2.7 billion. I think the CEO was saying our asset base has grown significantly over the last 5 years. You know, we should also explain why our depreciation kept on going up. You know, so which is quite good. I mean, our asset base has really, really improved over the last few years. Intangible assets, 33 million. Current liabilities, payables, we have 386 million, which is creditors, basically. Financial liabilities, deferred income, 1.5 billion. And we had an accumulated surplus of 1.4 billion, yes. Total equities were 30 million rand.
Did you say?
Accumulated surplus.
Yeah.
It's 1.4 billion. Okay. Yes, accumulated surplus. Our key financial ratios, current ratio, we achieved our target, it was 1.6 compared to 1.5 target. Gross margin was 31% compared to our target of 20%, which is quite impressive. Net profit margin was also about 21%, almost double our target for the year. We don't have any debt as Makhalis Water, but which is something I think the CEO has spoken. We are hoping to, we are engaging the department to allow us to actually go to the market. So we're hoping we convince the department to go with us to Treasury to give us permission to go to the market so that we can raise funding. There's a number of projects which with really good returns that we feel them we'll be able to raise funding from the market, provided we get permission from the shareholder and obviously National Treasury. So currently we don't have any debt as Makhalis Water. Return on assets was 6% compared to a target of 4%. Oh, staff cost, instead of percentage cost to revenue, percentage staff cost to revenue was 32% against the target of less than or equal to 32%. We are basically on target there. Repairs and maintenance as a percentage of PPE was 1%, which is also quite good. Average debtor days, I mean, that's where we basically lost everything. It was literally double our target for the year, 100 days compared to 50 days that we had as a target. I think average creditor days, which is, I think, what the chair also spoke about earlier too, that we, in spite of the challenges we have with our debtors, we always try to pay our creditors, you know, so we have 28.5 days, you know. So I think as the members will see, the challenge really was, the third phase was really for debtors days of 100 days compared to the target of 50 days. And the situation is still looking good in for this financial year, you know. But as we said, the challenge that gets faced by all the agencies currently. So analysis of expenditure, 31% went to was compensation for employees and 8.9 goods and services. The next slide is better analysis of the regular expenditure. As Makhari's water, we had a regular expenditure of 265 for the year, 263,000. But we also had irregular expenditure for non-compliance, which would be sitting in the department's books of 10.9 million. This was for the project that we're actually doing on behalf of the department. So unfortunately, there were some procurement-related challenges when this appointment was done, which resulted in irregular expenditure of 10.9 million rand. So this 10.9 million, as I indicated earlier, will be sitting in the books of the department, but it will be reported as non-compliance in our books.
Yeah, explain that. The department gives you a directive.
Yes.
As an implementing agent.
Yes. What had happened?
But procurement happens within the department.
No, that I'm not as well.
Explain that a bit.
Okay. The department gave us a directive to implement a specific project. So we appointed the PSP to actually manage the whole project, including appointing the actual contractors. So it appears when the evaluation was done, there were some mistakes that were done by the PSP when they were appointing that specific service provider, which were picked up later by the Auditor General. But because this project was done on behalf of the department, the 10 million didn't be really sitting on us because we would have received money from the department. But in the department's books, it will show a regular expenditure of 10.9 million rand caused by us as the implementing agent.
Which goes back to the same old problem of the road department is not playing when appointing implementing agents. The department does not do what is referred to as what, monitoring? It precisely because you do not have systems in place at the department. Could that be the case? Hence the appointment of SEP different. That's why I'm trying to understand. What do you understand what this talks to members?
What procedure is it done if there are this, the department is appointing, is giving directive? Or what happens? What's the process? Can you explain that? Because if we can get there, then in terms of financials, what really happens? Are you depositing, are you giving the implementing agent the whole money to do everything, or are you telling them the other way around?
We have our financial personnel to talk to. However, this is one of the issues that we are dealing with for this attempt, whereby we are now monitoring closely with the implementing agent and also through our internal audit. Also, there's a joint forum where we look at the issues that has caused us complications on DWS giving out work to the implementing agents. That is our
objective. Okay, let's proceed.
Thank you, Chair. Through less than wasteful expenditure, we didn't have any, fortunately, for the year. The 4 million that came from the 2017 financial year was condoned during the current. The 4,000. Not 4 million, 4,000. So for the last financial year, we didn't have any. For 2017-18 financial year, we didn't have any. Through less than wasteful expenditure. 4,000, yes. Overview of the audit report. I think as the CEO and the chair alluded to earlier, we had an unqualified agreement. For this current financial year, we do hope that we'll get a clean audit. And as things stand, I think we are definitely going towards it. But I think it's quite significant that the number of unresolved audit findings dropped dramatically for the last financial year, which gives us hope that for the current financial year, we'll definitely achieve a clean audit. They dropped significantly from the 81 to the 11 unresolved audit findings for the current financial year. Okay.
Any rounding up comments from the chair?
Chair, there were four. I picked up four issues on the questions that you asked earlier. We don't have any manager that is leading or part of or in Labour Parliament through a shop steward. The issue of water losses, we do have below 5%, but I think the issue, we should start a program of collaborating with municipalities on helping them down the value chain. We were in Tabazembe a few weeks ago. I think we're taking you on that challenge, we'll work on it, and we'll give a better report. The issue on us coming together on the economics of scale, I think it's something that my colleagues in SAU, we should talk about it maybe as a water board, really, as to whatever we procure, how can we use the economics of scale to lower the prices and even negotiate various contracts to our benefit as water boards. I'm not certain whether legislation would allow us to do it collectively, but I think the issue can start there. The last one on the stakeholder engagement that Elias spoke in to it. Thank you very much, Chair.
Okay, once again, congratulations to both of you. I did not congratulate Amatola for unqualified support. We certainly do have major challenges. I did not raise, none of us, I'm not too sure if others did raise anything on litigation. This is one thing that really, it's quite small, but with time, the chunk gets bigger. Your water boards, I was just looking at the notes I have. Even on Amatola water, the litigation bill is, you know, it's been increasing in a big way that you cannot think of. Just to give you an idea, since 2014-15 with Amatola water, the liability on litigation started at 5 million. 2015-2016 was at 18.9 million. 2016-2017 was 28 million. 2017-2018 was 46 million. That's Amatola water. It would have been prudent on Amatola water, we have had time that in fact we should actually I hope and trust that it's going to be up of all of us, that we get that written explanation from Amatola Water in unpacking, especially the latest litigation bill of 46 million rand under the year under review. I hope I speak on behalf of all of us members. So that's one area. And then of course also the issue when we went to Rustenburg, can't remember where we were exactly. I'm sure you remember, those that are familiar with the area, where we had a meeting with the mine owners, Moinoy. The mining houses there committed that they can come and assist the municipalities in maintenance and refurbishment of your water infrastructure. And they made it very clear that they were not prepared to give money to anyone. But they can even, to a point where they can even bring their engineers to assist where they can assist, when called upon. Dr. Ndivi at the time was acting regional manager in Northwest. Did give us a report after a very lengthy time we have been asking for. I don't know whether you do have that report as Makhali's Water. The department should hand over that report, because the department was expected to make a follow-up on those agreements out of that session. The point I'm raising is that the role that private sector plays, we do not pay much attention to that. We always gun for all these big projects, as mentioned by Mr. Basson. At the end of the day, we want to cash in. Now, you have your private sector that wants to assist. What's wrong in accepting such assistance? That's the issue in the, given the challenges we have, both in terms of availability of money. Yes, you do have reserves and surpluses and all what it takes to say at the end of the day, you are able to sustain yourselves. Now, you talk about going out into the capital markets and raising more capital, especially for your capex. But what is wrong in getting to say, here are people who want to come in and assist? They are not giving you money. You are not spending money. But instead, there is benefit. They make it very clear. They say, instead of building new infrastructure, let's look at what losses you are making on your water. Let's fix that. The net effect of that is that you have more water than, as we speak now, that you are losing water. So in other words, you have more water that you did not even budget for. At the end of the day, it reflects a very positive balance. I still talk balance sheet, on your balance sheet. So that's the rationale from where I am seated. I don't know if it makes any sense. And again, it has to do, once again, with the will. If there is will, there is a way. The ring fencing issue has been responded to by a councillor. It's something that the department might wish to engage. We started that platform. I hear you talk about IMTT. I can assure you that you are going to have another structure next week or next other year. It's not a good thing. We need action. We need to see things happening instead of creating up more structures. That's all what we're saying. We brought all of you together. Call Agriculture, SALGA, National Treasury, and Water and Sanitation Department. What is your plan? Here you have a debt issue that you need to deal with. People owe you. People owe these water boards. What do we do? What is the solution? Yes, there is so much indigency that we're talking about. Yes, water is being lost in the process of, you know, being reticulated or otherwise, all of those things. But there must be a way of dealing with that problem of your debt. It has been increasing nonstop. Members, that's the submission from Mahalis Water. All of them, they are really stunning to be the best. We had another one that was equally ambitiously, you know, come next year, we're going to be the best. Perhaps that competition must really come in, you know, have an auditor general conduct that competition among these water boards. Who is the best in all the divisions or sections? Mr. Nguni?
Thank you very much. You know, we seem to be reading one's mind. You know, last week we did that and today we're doing the same. You know, I on your behalf, when I started I congratulated these water boards, but I started by congratulating them, more especially my daughter, who was the daughter one. I said, you are getting qualified, although they were this yo-yo. But they're doing well. You see, but the yo-yo must sometimes go down. You know how to play yo-yo. You know we play yo-yo. You see, it comes up, goes down, goes, but there should be one time when you put it, and it just throws down there in one person. You see, no. Or you understand? Or when it goes up, it must go up and up and up. So you play it like this. You know what I'm saying? That was just a something that was an encouragement. And for Mahalis also, thank you for unqualifying. You know, we become concerned when it goes down. It goes down, and to disclaimer, not the same as what where with the problem when it goes down. But with you, you know, the issue of these fruitless wasteful expenditure, the auditor indicated that if we are moving away from that thing, which is a good indication. And keep it up on that one. Move away. Try and move away on those things. And looking at those issues for my qualifications, whatever they said for the auditor, I was very happy because they went down. This litigation the chairperson was talking about, including you, Amatole. You know, when I have written Amatole with an H, and then I had to correct it when I said no. He said, Amatole. You are Amatole in this one word. Amatole. Yeah, according to what they have written. Yeah. This litigation, I don't know if you can find, you must speak to your legal expert. And then you ask them, because sometimes you find that there are this what's called contingency liability that you have, even Mahalis. You see this condition, the dispute that you had there, which took a lot of money, 800 and something, 140,000 and so forth. You can see in the city there. That is, some of the legal experts must tell you, aye man, when we settle this, is it not going to take us far? Because sometimes you want to fight. Nina, Nilwela, Tundi say, you're fighting for your dignity. There's a school in Lavandula, Amatole. That's where the problem starts. You know, once you become a hard nut to crack, no. Let us show him what we are made of, the problem comes. But these people, these advocates, they say per hour or per day, they charge for 50,000, 100,000. You see? And they will keep on saying, no, this is a winnable case. It's a winnable case. But you fail to ask, hey, if it's a winnable case, how long will it take this winnable case? They say, no, but it can take some time. They say, no. You look at what is the best solution to pay that thing and get off away with, you understand? Because if it can take 10, 10 hours and they charge 30,000 per hour, then Muslims, you have lost. You are fighting for 200,000. You're fighting for 200,000. Taking into consideration that you still have to travel, you are not at work or losing hours at work, you still have to be accommodated somewhere, you have to pay the counselor, then you must look at that. Let's solve this issue. We'll pay that person, we'll get away with, and then we're done. So these are the ways of taking decisions. Quick decisions that will never take you away. We're not even going to be looking for, even the auditor general will be saying, oh, yeah, you're in court. This is what is going to happen. This is a what you call a contingency liability on you. But if you paid, you are paying for what you're supposed to pay. We are hard. We want to show people that you cannot play with me. You cannot play with me. I will show you. Then it becomes a problem. Sometimes many things, let them go. You will save a lot of money. These were the things, just in a nutshell, I must to thank you, both these entities. Unqualified, job well done, but improve also in the service delivery. Yeah, but it cannot be only on paper that you have got unqualified reports, but down there, there's nothing that is happening. You see, then you get with departments, because you'll be reporting there. Reported this. It's unfortunate that the minister today is not here. Mm-hmm. Pay these people. You are owing them a lot of money. You know, some of the time, some of the things we say to them, hey man, pay the creditors. That's the problem. You see, pay these people their monies so that they are able to pay what they are owing. So let us call it a code. We have been telling you, every time we tell you, okay, you pay, but are still satisfied. We are not satisfied as the portfolio committee. So go and tell them that we say to them, pay this or water board. We wanted them to do their work down there. Thank you. I don't know who am I thanking. It was now my chair. I don't know. Yes, can you continue?
I just want to add to what you are saying is, in most instances, the failure of water boards is the result of non-payment by the department. They are implementing agents for you, you appoint them, but you don't pay them. Eventually, you are the culprits, and you should be taken to task, your department, because at the end of the day, the increases in pricing for delayment of payment and stop of projects because you are not honoring your agreement is hampering the community at large. And it starts with you. It starts with the department not doing their work. I don't know how we can deal with that, but this is now for 5 years. The biggest problem within this department is not honoring their own agreements and not paying. Either it's municipalities that's not paid or water boards not paid. And it's every year. We can ask these water boards now, what is the department owing you? I can guarantee you it will be 10 million plus. And in some instances, maybe I hear a laugh there at the back, maybe it's 100 million, I don't know. But I guarantee you on the Nooit Gedag scheme, it's a stop and go and stop and go. Why? Because the department's not paying, or the minister withdraw the money, then we've got to fight to get the money back, and then the project goes on again. How many times in Nooit Gedag did the contractor stop? Cost of 100,000 rand per day, standing cost, because your department is not paying, and that should stop. That should stop. Otherwise, there will be no progress in the water sector. If the department that got to honor the agreements that is in charge of water in this country is not honoring their own agreements.
Let us ask Chairperson quiet. Do you still have money?
Chairperson and honorable members, we heard you. In relation to the payment of our entities, where we have no disputes in terms of invoices, we will pay. So the problem is that at times there is no agreement in terms of confirmation of these invoices. But where we have no disputes, we will pay, Chairperson, and we are committing that we will ensure that we pay on time. Yes. Thank you.
Do we have money?
Maybe the question should be asked differently. How much do you have? We're almost end of the year, end of March. I can see the eye and the body language between the two of them. Okay, finally.
Chair, I can't give you the exact figure, but yes, we do have money for grants. We've got grant money. Where we don't have money is goods and services. The goods and services budget was depleted because they've had water leaks out of goods and services. But on remuneration, there's still 100 million left that was underspent due to not filling positions. And on the grants, the MWIC and the RBIC, there's still money left, which if we haven't spent by the end of the month, we're going to have to surrender that. But there is still money left, there is.
So underspending in your remuneration goes there, precisely because there's no vacancies.
We had a meeting when Squire and Stronger was acting. We had a meeting with Treasury to see if they'd allow us to shift that money from the remuneration to goods and services to assist with water leaks. But they said we couldn't do that. They said that
it
goes back. We have to repay that. Yes.
It's illegal. Mr. Potter,
let's make sure there is money now. Ask the two water boards. What is the department owing them now on projects? Now. Because they still got money. Let's find out, Chairperson.
Yeah, put on the spot.
50 million.
Yeah.
There's 50 million, Chair.
And Amatola water?
Amatola? No, Chair. The 2 million that are voted to pay.
Amat?
They don't owe us anything.
But yes, 50 million.
Chairperson, can they be paid? Paid, that's 15 million.
You owe them. Any quick one? Yes, sir?
Chair, as soon as the invoices are signed off, we pay them immediately. We've sent out memos now to everybody to try and get the payments done before year end. But the thing is, they've got to be signed off by the project manager, whoever it is. So it's the same yesterday when we were talking with Lepella Water. They were saying there's a dispute. And the project manager was saying, but we've got to sign it off. We don't give advances. Before, we used to give advances. We don't do that anymore. Now the work is done, then it gets submitted to the department. The project manager has to sign off. As soon as that's done, we pay. So we're not holding anything back. So I'm not sure if that 50 million has been submitted yet. Has the invoice has been submitted?
Okay. Can Mahali speak audibly so that we understand it? And who should sign? Who should sign off? So that we know who shall sign off. Have you submitted this long time? Yes, we have submitted long time. We want this thing sorted out now and for us.
Thank you, Chair. Some of the invoices we're talking about has called
it. And you being?
Oh, excuse me. Apologies, Chair. My name is Marshall Mola Mesho. I'm the Chief Operations Officer in Mahali Zote. So we've got quite a number of programs that we have with the department, or MWIC, or RBIC, hotspots. So some of the invoices we're talking about here are as old as 2 to 3 years. We do have a statement that we submit to the department on a monthly basis. We do engage, and there are payments that will be coming through. But yes, as we sit here today, we are owed about 50 million. And that's on various projects, on those programs I mentioned.
Okay. We fine?
Chair, can I make a proposal?
Yes, Mr. Pusson.
But Mahali's, go before we close next week. Let him go to the department. Let's go sit there, sort out, and get a report back next week whether they are paid, and if they are not paid, on what invoices, what the reasons were not paid.
Remember, Chair, they are saying as old as 3 years. As old as 3 years. In fact, we're talking about debtors' payments here. They are also the culprit, and they are more than 12 years. So their case, these
water pots are taking cue from their mother, because they are not paying in time. So please, we need that report, please.
Madam?
Next week will be late. Can they do it at least by
12? Okay, I want to rephrase. They sort it out this week and give us a report so that we can deal with that
when we meet
on week.
Tuesday, if not Wednesday. That's what Mr. Boson is saying. In other words, everything must happen. I guess what members are saying here, Mahalis, is that you are now being assisted. Parliament is putting the department on the spot, and the department does confirm that there is money. Only when invoices are being verified, then that payment happens and the signatures are attached.
And also, we are not going to entertain verbal directives, only the ones that have been signed off. Those are the ones that we're going to entertain.
Yeah, that's all what we're saying. We're talking about invoices that are verified and that are signed off. There's nothing verbal there.
And no victimization, no victimization, no thing, nothing's happening, no, you don't ask them to pay.
Okay. do we still have any further questions? I just have to quickly go for a quick call. That talks about World Water Day. Apparently it's in your division. But it's end of year next week. For us, it's end of term. It's end of everything with you as of next week. However, our work continues. Our work continues as members of Parliament forever ensuring that our people out there, they receive water that is of quality and that is also coming in quantities as well. Until we are not members of Parliament or until we are shifted to another committee, we are still together until after the election or until election time. That's how it goes. If there are any further things, we also went to Gauteng, 2016 September. And there was an issue about a directive. The communities there, we were given a figure of about 40,000 communities that were not receiving water. We were spoken by the department from time to time until sometime last year that that directive was not there. Can you talk to us about that very briefly? Either yourselves or Mahalis, whichever.
Let Mahalis speak, but can I repeat on record? If a directive is not in writing, we are not in a position to entertain it. Thank you.
I don't understand the writing and verbal thing, where it comes from. Anything that gets done by government obviously is formal and it must be written. It's the standard rule. What is this now?
If it's not in writing, if the minister or the DG gives the water board and say there's a crisis there, go and sort out that, then it's not for them. They do the instruction. But then it's for the department to make sure that they change that into writing. Because the instruction comes from the department. And don't then tell us if it's not in writing, because then that person is dead. You rectify it. Not them. They've done the work on your request. Then you rectify it as the department.
That's understanding. It is as simple as that. What happened here in September 2016, when we went on an oversight in Gauteng, the department was meant to sign a directive, at first to Citibank, later to Mahalis, for whatever reason. Then we were told by the department and the officials, the directive is here, the directive is there, the directive is here. They even went as far as saying, no. Here is a directive on an iPad. No, it's here. And then I kept on telling them that for as long as it is not on my desk, signed off, there is no directive. That's how it works here. We work on formal submissions, nothing else. But if you then were to have spoken to Mahalis and gave them a go-ahead, the directive is coming, and all what it takes at the end of the day, our main interest here is that those communities must get water. That's our main interest. Your bureaucratic processes should not worry us. Our main worry, I repeat, is the fact that those communities must get water. Mahalis?
Chair, this particular one of Gauteng, fortunately, at TNDG, eventually the letter did come. But the 10 million is still outstanding. What Mahalis did, we held a meeting with Gauteng, and after a few meetings at this committee, we decided to reach and pay on behalf of the department the 10 million. But we have not been repaid, right? You know, the issue that you are discussing, DG is right from a legal point. Honorable Basson is also right from a governance point of view. It made us to lose a chief executive. I had the displeasure with the deputy chair of getting our former chairman out of the organization because of directives that came verbal. Because once we dealt with accountability, there was no accountability, there was no proof. And I would hope in the future all of them would come in a written format.
Okay. I take it that all of what you are making reference to is going to form part of those invoices. Is that the understanding? Is there any further thing that we want to talk about? We fine?
Yeah.
We covered? Okay, that's fine. Maybe just one last question. With all these deaths that we talk about, do you ever get to a point where your water boards write off any of the deaths as bad deaths? They go on forever?
Yes.
With the hope that one day, even if it's after 5 years,
we never write it off, but we do make provisions, and the provision, I think it's in terms of GAAP and PFMA, you must make provision for bad debt, but the total write-off, well, in the last 5 years that I've been in Mahalis, we've never written off a debt to owed by the department.
Thank you very much, Mahalis. Mr. Mguni is saying to both Mahalis and also Amatola Water, we can only wish and hope for the best for yourselves. improving on your unqualified into a clean audit for both Mahalis and also Amadola Water. There are recommendations in your AG's report. I would imagine your internal audit teams are equally recommending from time to time, and those recommendations are very important. When Parliament sits with yourself, for instance, one of those things that you also recommended, I'm trying to imagine or rather think, oh yes, it is a follow-up with the mining houses. As you continue doing your work, that report with the mining houses can come in handy in supporting some of the areas of work that you are expected to venture into, especially talking about Muddy Bank, spending three times of the monies that have not been budgeted for in cleaning that water, because they're abstracting from Artes there. Artes could have also been another question for you, specifically Mahalis, because that's your area where you're operating in, as to what is the plan going forward in really making sure that that dam is clean, and also that wastewater. So we went to one wastewater treatment plant where we found two, actually. The one decommissioned, the other one still operational. But the one that was operational did not have the necessary capacity. Hence, spilling into spilling into that river, what is it called? Crocodile River. And the net effect of that talks to deposits of and contaminating that artist there. Maybe it is something that we might wish to close our meeting with for the department, just to give us some highlights or lowlights on that dam. What is the plan going forward? Yes, it's a department's national dam, but Mahalis operates within that same area. I would imagine Mahalis should take a keen interest in that, because your wastewater treatment plants are the ones that are polluting the dam for all intents and purposes.
Thanks, Chair. The Chair is quite correct. It is a matter of concern to us. In fact, we were discussing this just last week, looking at the impact, you know, and because we obviously do try to retrofit our plan to be able to deal with the quality we are receiving, you know, upstream, but there are limits to that too. So we ought to start looking upstream as well. We have partnered with WRC. They've got quite a number of initiatives. Some are quite old that have never been actioned. Looking into those studies that have been done, there's quite a number of them. There's quite a long list of students that have done studies on the hazard. What can be done? There are technologies there. So we are looking at those reports with WRC with the hope that we can pick one solution there and go as far as even funding that ourselves, because we are really suffering downstream, both in terms of the cost as well as the ability to keep maintaining the standard of potable water. Somehow we're going to be found wanting if we don't start to do something upstream. So that is the initiative that we have currently, Chair. Yes, we do acknowledge that it's the department's responsibility, but we have to partner with the department and WRC to collectively find a solution.
Chair, I think the work that is that is done with the WRC is going to give us results. So we will.
When?
Well, I don't know when, but this is work in progress. Shall we take it as work in progress?
I had a discussion with the minister on that after I wrote the letter. The minister did visit our district. He came back to me and said he's looking at different methods of cleaning our things. Maybe we should ask the minister to make a presentation to us next week. But the minister is aware of this,
and the minister, as I said, did visit the plant, and that was in a period when we were in the Netherlands, when he visited that plant.
Or
the dam, I apologize.
My understanding of the problem there, perhaps I should repeat. You have a wastewater treatment plant, I think there's three of them if I'm not mistaken, in that area of Madibeng, that do not have the necessary capacity of handling that waste in that area. Because of that, the raw waste spills over to the ground and gets deposited into the river. And the river then, because there's no one monitoring those rivers, it deposits that raw sewer and all whatever that is there in that river to the dam. Hence the pollution that we have there, hence the contamination that we have in that dam. That's my layman's understanding of what the problem is. Now, when we talk about cleaning of that dam and having to clean the dam itself there without having to go back to the source where the problem is, we are as good as going nowhere. That's my layman. I met with the Coca-Cola people and I just didn't understand what they were talking about. Apparently they are partnered with the department, again, in cleaning that dam. You have a different understanding, Mr. Bosa?
That's not just the only problem. Downstream of our fish, Maribeng is also putting the raw sewer back into the river. It goes to the Rooikopies Dam, and with the canal it goes to the Falkop Dam, where they extract water to clean water for drinking water. So, upstream of the dam as well, it comes from the Hennops River as well. So, it's spilled in Gauteng. That also ends up in our Fishpoort Dam. And that's feed down to Maribeng. And just after Maribeng purification, they do exactly the same. They pollute the river with their wastewater treatment plant that goes to Rooikopies, and from Rooikopies the canal feeds into Falkop. It's just this, just going on and on and on.
I hope and trust that that is our understanding, all of us, as we are getting into bringing solutions to any problem. Because it gets to be important that we go back to the source where the problem is, so that a solution is found that is sustainable. That's the only point that we're making. Members, I think we've done a lot, and we should thank all of us, especially the water boards that came through. It's part of their work. As they always say, you know, you don't praise the fish for swimming. It's part of his job. And we've done whatever that we needed to do, and wish to thank all of you. And thanks for the members. I'm not sure at what point do we really get to say to ourselves, you know, when we close off next week, this is what we want to do. One thing, of course, that I always go for first is getting that group picture. I don't know whether what else can we do. We have lunch together, Mattia, or a braai at your house. let's throw some ideas to Mattia, so that maybe Tuesday, Wednesday, you know, before we go to Kirstenbosch, where you're going to be invited as well as you join the ANC. Members, the meeting is adjourned. Thanks once again, and all the best. Travel safe. Thank you.